Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, waiting for Artie to come on. Not sure. What's going on? We'll give him just a second here to get things situated.
Everyone, it's Artie here, Son of Dirt Track Report. I've been under the weather today, not feeling the greatest, but we are here live. This is episode number 9, and we have a great show for you this afternoon. We hope everybody made it all right with the storm. That was the big news last week. We didn't have a show. Hurricane Ida come in as a Cat 4 and really did some damage out there, so we hope that everybody made it through the storm. Okay, I hope everybody can hear me loud and clear. This is Talking Dirt, and we have, like I said, we're going to have a great show lined up for y'all today. Running just a couple minutes behind, but we are live, Block Talk Radio, as well as all of our other, where you get your podcast at, Spotify. I don't have the list. My tablet went dead, so I had to charge it up. It's loading up now. So, but y'all tune in and sit back and enjoy. If you're watching on Facebook Live, we'll be asking a series of questions all night long through Facebook, so you can actually follow along and actually be interactive with the show. So if you're watching in on Facebook Live, stay tuned, and y'all will be able to listen to it through the live there. We have a great show lined up. We got Ron Southern coming on. Kelsey Edwards, which we'll be talking a lot about her in just a little bit. But she is out of Colorado, and I met her parents at Hattiesburg Speedway. We made a connection, and we're going to talk a little dirt track racing from the Colorado, Kansas area tonight. So it's going to be interesting to hear some stories from that way. So y'all tune in, strap your seatbelts in, put your helmets on, put that steering wheel on, and we are going to get ready to talk some dirt here tonight. We try to have a great show each and every week. Some nights it's hard to get the people together, and other nights it's really good. So y'all hang out with me here tonight for the next couple hours, and we got a great show lined up for y'all. On top of that, I have a list. I got to send to Chris real quick, but we are ready to rock and roll. I was going to talk a little bit about some different tracks here at the beginning of the intro, and I just got behind on time, so I'm just trying to get it all ready to go, good to go, and today's been one of those days that just been in the bed most of the day, not feeling well. So I got things hitting and everything. All right, so I probably had to have no dead time here at the beginning, but I'm just rambling at this point. But we have a great show, like I said, lined up. We got Jay Dillon, Amanda McApplin, Jackson Jay Dillon from Greenville. Jared Hudson is going to bring you the South Alabama report. Bridget Walters going to be talking from Northwest Florida. We got TJ Pratt on the show here tonight. He is a factory stock driver down here in the South. We got Kevin Dixon talking about dosing. Dave Chisholm's going to come on with our North Mississippi, North Alabama speed report. And Eddie Ritchie is going to be our first ever photographer coming on, talking about what he does. And it's an interesting thing. I wanted to try to get this, you know, when this podcast came about, we wanted to make sure we included everyone involved in dirt track racing. So we do have Eddie Ritchie on tonight. He is going to be talking about the photography side of dirt track racing and about that perfect picture that you have to get each and every week when you go to the track. And then we're going to end the show with Tammy Rath. That is Southern Raceways. We'll be talking Southern Raceway in Milton, Florida. But hopefully everyone is good, and we are ready to start a great show here tonight. If you didn't notice, I know the big news this week leading up to this was Outlaw Speedway. You know, Outlaw Speedway is, they announced that they will not be, that this week right here will be the last week. So we'll talk to Ron about that. We are going to just have a good time here tonight. So, all right, so we got a couple things going on. I don't know if y'all can even see me on the feed here on live, because it's telling me that I'm having problems, which is always like that. So internet connection is not the greatest. So, but I'm rambling on too much. So here we go with our show. We're gonna get Ron Southern on board here and see what he has to say about Hattiesburg Speedway. We'll get him on here shortly, and we'll be ready to rock and roll here on the Dirt Track Report, Talking Dirt. All right, Ron, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Artie. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Tell us what's going on with Hattiesburg and Outlaw Speedway.
All right. Well, to start off, I pray that you start feeling better quicker. Need to see you out at the tracks this weekend.
Thank you.
With that said, as far as Hattiesburg, we're going to be racing this Friday night. That's tomorrow night. It'll be a regular show. We're going to be presenting our 2021 Kids Champion Trophy, and we're going to be doing the boxcar races at intermission. It'll be the final one, and then the trophies will be given to the top three in each of those age groups, and then the four-foot trophy will be given to the overall champion for the kids this tomorrow night. So we're excited about that and looking forward to getting a good count of kids to participate in that. And that's a call out to all the drivers, too. Come on out to the front stretch. Bring anything you want to give out to the kids, as this is going to be their last run around the front stretch, and handouts and that kind of stuff. I also want to just give a prayer request out there to everybody, my prayer warriors. Everybody knows Aaron's Racing Diecast has been a big part of Hattiesburg Speedway and supporting the kids. And his wife has recently come into a situation where she was burned pretty badly in the kitchen with canning some salsa and stuff, and she's got a lot of second and third degree burns across her face and her upper body, and we just need to keep her lifted up in prayer. And I know Aaron's continuing to give updates, so please keep Aaron and his wife in your prayers for quick recovery and healing on that. And just wanted to give that shout out to Aaron. He's done so much for the kids at Hattiesburg, and I wanted to recognize him for that. With the show tomorrow night, it is a regular race night, so we're going to have our Pure Streets, Street Stocks, Modifieds, and Craig Lakes, and it's going to be a good night of racing. I know the points battles are going on right now, not only at the local level, but at the national level, especially in the Craig Lake models. And last Friday night, we had the top four in the Craig Lake points racing in Hattiesburg Speedway, and then it transitioned again over to Outlaw Speedway on Saturday night. So it was pretty exciting to see those top four, and two drivers came down from Tennessee, got to meet them and talk with them, and they are first and third in the points, and then, of course, we got second and fourth as our local drivers, and that is Shannon Lee and Jeremy Item. So Oakley Johns, and I believe it was Tyler Dean, was the other one from Tennessee. I can't quite remember the exact name of that gentleman. I apologize. But we were looking forward to it. Unfortunately, both the Tennessee drivers had issues for the feature at Hattiesburg, so we weren't able to see them run. But they did get to run on Saturday night at Outlaw. With that said, we'll continue to keep you updated on what's going to happen with the Hattiesburg schedule. I know it's to be announced or to be determined at this time. And with Outlaw going to finish their season with this Saturday night, I know there's a possibility that Hattiesburg will go to a Saturday night schedule because of the high school football that's always in full swing at this time of year. So that may be coming out soon. Just keep an eye on the Facebook page, Hattiesburg Speedway Racing. We'll keep you updated that way. Now, as far as Saturday night, Outlaw Speedway, going to be an awesome night of racing. It's for the Fallen 50, and that's a modified feature. We already have 31 cars, I believe, committed, and so we're definitely going to be running some B-mains. If we continue to get cars signed up and show up to the track, we may even be running some C-mains to see who makes the feature. So that's exciting, $5,000 to the winner of the modified race. And so there's going to be crate lates, modified, pure and factory stocks, street stocks, and stingers. But the qualifying is going to happen immediately after National Anthem, and then we're going to get right into our heat races, and then in the intermission, and then to the features right after that. So Outlaw Speedway, if you haven't been there, now's the time to go. Final race of the 2021 season, and it's going to be incredible. Zach has done a lot to get that track prepped. Donald Parker has done a lot to get Hattiesburg Speedway prepped, and drivers continue to praise Donald in the track prep that's going on at Hattiesburg. I know we had Joey Moxley out of Alabama come race with us last week for that modified race, and Jade Luzenberg was on a rail, and nobody could touch him. Now, there was one restart when Greg Hollingsworth got underneath him, but that restart didn't count as there was a wreck on that particular lap, and we had to revert back to the previous lap's lineup, and that gave Jade the lead back, and he didn't get caught sleeping again that second time. I know Joey Moxley was commenting about how good the track was and how racy it was. We seen three wide racing, and you were there, Artie. You can attest to that, too. It's awesome to see three wide racing at a little bull ring like Hattiesburg, and the drivers are loving it, fans are loving it, and unfortunately a lot of mechanical issues knocked some of the cars out and whittled down the field, but nonetheless it was exciting racing across all the classes. And then Saturday night at Outlaw with the Benny Spicer Memorial Race, the Spicer family stepped up and did a lot of stuff to donate to the race, to include champion belts, just like the WWF belts, for the winner of each crate race. There was a double crate race features, and Shannon Lee swept them. So he has two belts to his name now of the Benny Spicer Memorial, and an exciting race in that second crate late feature. And if you didn't get to stick around, I know it got kind of late, but nonetheless, that crate late feature, that second one, was an exciting one to watch. We do everything we can. Now, I'm the announcer at both tracks. I'm also the chaplain. But I also talk on the race fevers to all the drivers. So that kind of takes away from keeping dead space on the microphone as I'm talking into the race fever radio to try to get the drivers lined up. And one of the biggest challenges we have is getting the restarts back in the line to get that green flag flying again. And we had some issues with that, but I think we got that worked out. I know some of the drivers, after the races, we talked to them, and some of their earbuds either fell out or batteries died. So, I mean, that's going to happen. But we just need to figure out how we can come to a mutual agreement on getting these restarts lined back up and running quickly as possible for the fans that are in the stands. And that's something that I've been talking with several of the owners and trying to figure out what we can do. So this is a call out to all the drivers. Help us help you. And make sure you got fresh batteries. Make sure you're on the right frequency, and possibly tape that earbud into your ear so that there is no confusion when we try to get the tower to line you back up. With that said, Artie, if you are healed and ready to go, we're looking forward to seeing you at Hattiesburg on Friday and Outlaw on Saturday.
Definitely, I'm excited. I'm hoping I'll go back to work tomorrow, so I missed today, but that high blood pressure is killing me, and I got an appointment on Monday, so we're gonna get there.
Yeah, hey, when you see me at Hattiesburg, if you can get there early enough or at Outlaw, talk to me, because I had high blood pressure, and I've been able to get that under control using over-the-counter stuff. So I'd be happy to talk to you about how I did.
Sweet. That sounds good. Thank you, Ron. All right, Ron, I have a couple people asking a couple questions on the live here.
Okay.
One says, any news about Outlaw Speedway shutting down early?
That's a decision that was made by the track owner, Zach Rushing. I can't speak to what his reasoning is, but I do know that he's got some plans to do some more stuff to the track in the off season, and he's going to use this extra time for shortening the season to get that done. That's the only thing I can speak to for sure. Other than that, it's got to be coming from Zach.
All right, and I got another question. How many more shows at Hattiesburg this season? I know you had touched on that. It's TBA, so that's pretty much it.
The biggest challenge we have is Friday night football, and high school's up there. They're dedicated fans, and can't blame them. I mean, high school football is pretty cool, and we're a Friday night track. And in the past, we've been able to go to Saturday nights in the September, October time frame, but with Outlaw running Saturday night, we didn't want to step on them, so we were going to probably shut down a little early. But now that Saturday nights have opened up, I'm still waiting to hear exactly how many more races. It's still up in the air, but we will be racing tomorrow night, and hopefully get a little more information to the folks that show up tomorrow night over the loudspeakers, as I'm able to talk to the owners at that time. I know next week we may be going to Saturday. It's hard to say. Like I said, until I talk to the owners and get confirmation, I won't know anything for sure.
Correct. Yeah. I know normally September we usually race on Saturdays at Hattiesburg. So that's been like that for a few years now. And like you said, high school football, it takes priority. Like a lot of people have a lot of kids. So takes priority. watching your son or daughter cheer or whatever the situation may be. So, that's all the questions I have. That's everybody that asked questions on the live here. So thank you so much, and we'll see you Friday night.
All right, thanks, Artie, and thanks to all the listening audience, and most of all, thanks to Chris Creighton and the show that he puts on that allows us to do the Southern Dirt Track Report podcast.
Thank you so much. All right, y'all, that is Ron Southern. That's Hattiesburg Speedway and Outlaw Speedway. If you've never been to either or, you need to try to make it out. Hattiesburg Speedway is a great Friday night show. The track has been great. Also, over at Outlaw Speedway, it's been really, really, really good racing there. This is going to be the last week there. You definitely want to go check that out and be there this weekend to Fallen 50 modified race, 5,000 to win. It's going to be the place to be this weekend. All right, so our next guest, we added a couple minutes for her to speak because there's a lot we want to talk about. It's Kelsey Edwards. She's 17 years old. She raced quarter midgets since she was 10 years old, raced sports compact for a year and a half. That's the front-wheel drive cars. And is now racing DeWalt for a second year. She's got three main event wins for this year, and she won this past weekend, Sunday night, and then she got third and Saturday night main in her division. We're gonna get Kelsey on. Kelsey Edwards. She is from the Southern Colorado area, so this is kind of a way away from our listening area, but it's gonna be interesting. She was born in Arkansas. She's racing in Colorado and Kansas at the moment. So, Kelsey, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Doing great. So, kind of weird how I met to get you on the show here. Your mom and dad were down in South Mississippi at Hattiesburg Speedway a couple weeks ago, and they were sitting right next to me. I started a conversation up. And next thing you know, we start talking dirt and track racing, and my daughter races DeWolf cars. And I was like, well, let's talk about getting her on the show. How are you this afternoon? And we are going to start the show by asking you a question that I ask all the female drivers. In a male-dominated sport, what does it mean to be a female in this sport?
You know, I think it's pretty special. A lot of people think it's really challenging to be one of the only females in a male-dominant sport. I think it's pretty cool. These people are like my family, and we've made a lot of friends, and as challenging as it is, they give me a really good competition, and I'm thankful for every single one of them.
Correct. So let me ask you this. Let's take it back to when you was a younger, 10 years old. You've been raised since you was 10 years old. Let's talk about the quarter midgets. Tell us about your career in that division.
Yeah. So I started quarter midgets when I was 10 years old, and just like today, sponsors mean everything to me. If it wasn't for some local businesses near me, I wouldn't have ever started racing. We didn't really think it would be something that my family could handle. My dad raced a long time ago, but of course he had a family, so that was, it kind of dialed down. And when I came along and we moved to Colorado, one of his customers actually was deep into quarter midgets, and they owned a tire shop in our city, and they actually had me go out and do a try it before you buy it. We knew we couldn't really afford it at the moment. It wasn't too serious. And that day, as I was going around the track, the president of that organization went up to my dad and told him that he had a natural and he had to get his checkbook out. Of course, we still weren't ready, but the owner of that business that brought us out there, a couple months later, he actually gave me my first race car for the season. He told me I could paint it, I could do whatever I want to it, I could race it until we could afford to get one. And a couple months later, we were blessed enough to get our own race car, and from there, it took off. And with sponsors, they helped us a lot through quarter midgets, and from there, we just kept taking steps forward.
So when you first got in the car in the midget, what was going through your mind in that first race?
There was a lot going through my head. It felt pretty natural to me, but it was definitely really exciting. It was something new, but it felt so natural, and that's what they told me, was this was something that I looked like I should be doing, and from there, I loved it. Every single start of the race is always exciting, just like the first.
What about so you started in midgets, and how fast do these midgets go?
You know, for kids, they go pretty fast. As I'm getting older and I watch them, it's like, wow, I was really not going that fast. But when you're young and you're in that car, you feel like you're going about 100 miles an hour down that track. They only hit about 20. It's a small track. I think they're around 1/20th of a mile. But, again, when you're in that little car and there's 10 other cars trying to get around you, you feel like you're going at the speed of light.
Correct. All right, so how many wins you got over the years in the midgets?
You know, I'm not sure. In the beginning, we worked really hard to get every little win we could, and towards the end is when we started to pick up our wins. We never really counted, but it was definitely whenever we did win, it meant a lot to us, and it was very special.
All right, so let's move ahead a little bit. You raced the they call them Stingers here. I'm not sure what they call them there, the front wheel drive cars. We hear Stingers, we hear Tuners, we hear Buzz. There's thousands of names for this class. So you jumped from a midget to a full size car, front wheel drive. Tell us about that movement from that car from the midgets to the race in the sports compact.
Yeah, so here we call them sport compacts. Mine was a 2001 Volkswagen Jetta, definitely beat up. It had seen better days. We never really thought we were going to go to dirt. We thought asphalt was just going to be our thing, but after going out to the dirt tracks that were by the quarter midget tracks and talking to other people, and we wanted to at least try it out, and we thought this would be a really fun way to switch it up. And from there, I didn't think I could go back to asphalt. Dirt was so much fun. That sport compact definitely taught me a lot, taught me how to drive a manual transmission. It gave me a little bit of a feel for dirt. Obviously, it's a lot different than the Dwarf, but going from asphalt and little cars to that Jetta on a dirt track was definitely a big jump, and I think that really helped introduce me to the dirt track.
Yeah, so front-wheel drives, they run a little different. So let's talk about when you moved up to the DeWalt. You go from a front-wheel drive car to I'm thinking that the DeWalt's or a rear wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us that transition there, because you're going from, you're going a little bit faster now.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely a big jump. I didn't really think it would happen as soon as it did. Seeing the dwarfs out at the dirt track, I loved them, and I told my dad every race weekend, I was like, that's what I want to race. And every time he would follow up and tell me that we were never going to race dwarfs, it was never going to happen. And then at the end of my Sport Compact season, we had a couple different dwarf drivers come up, and they actually let me drive their cars. So I think I got to drive 3 total dwarf cars. Just a couple hot laps, and as soon as I got out of the car, my dad, he was still like, oh, I don't know, dwarfs, I'm not sure. And then a couple months later, we were on our way to the next town over picking up our first dwarf car, and that was definitely a big change. You have to learn how to drive completely different with it not being the front-wheel drive, and these are obviously a lot faster and more competitive.
Yeah, the speed, just the speed, big difference there between, from a front-wheel drive car to the next step up. How long you plan on staying in the DeWalt?
I really like DeWalt, so I plan on staying in it for a couple more seasons. We, of course, want to keep moving forward. I would like to try modifieds. My dad wants to get me into a couple of other things like stock cars and stuff, so we're definitely going to keep trying stuff, but I think we're going to be in dwarfs for a while. I really enjoy these cars, and of course the people, they make it awesome.
Correct. I love watching we have a track down here. It's a asphalt track. They run Legends. I know the Legends and the dwarfs, they kind of look the same but totally different kind of cars. But I enjoy watching those little Legends run. What motor do you have in the DeWalt?
I run a 1,000cc Yamaha R1 engine. They're motorcycle engines. That's pretty much the baseline for what we run. Some people run Kawasaki's, some people run Suzuki's, but right now I'm running the Yamahas.
Awesome. And let's talk about this past weekend. Had a pretty good weekend. Saturday night you raced. Where did you race that Saturday night?
This Saturday night?
This past Saturday night.
That was in Garden City, Kansas at Airport Raceway. That is an absolutely amazing track. I've never raced that track before, so this weekend was my first time there, and I loved it.
So Saturday night, you get a third-place finish?
Yeah.
Pretty good run there. Tell us about the race this past Saturday night.
Yeah, so Saturday night we got there. We had 23 cars in our division. There's 2 separate divisions, but 23 cars combined. I was a little hesitant because if you've been following our KRE racing, we've been having some transmission issues. Normally I run second gear during the races, but unfortunately I don't have second gear, so I'm stuck in third gear. But after a little bit of setup changes, we think we got it pretty dialed in. And again, Saturday night was a very tough race. There were lots of really good battles in that race, and I ended up finishing 7th overall and 3rd in my division. Me to the fast dash on Sunday, because top 10 from that main go to your own little fast dash. On Sunday, I was leading that fast dash for about half of the race. It was going really great. And then we had a little bit of mechanical issues, and it sent me to the back, but that was perfectly okay because that put me in a good starting position for the main. So Sunday night we went out for the main. Again, just trying to get a good feel for the car and the track because we were still new. I ended up finishing 7th again in overall and 1st in my division, which was really, really exciting. A couple laps into that race, there was a little wreck in front of us, and I got tangled up in it. I hurt my hand, but the car was okay, so we kept pushing through, and again, we were able to bring home an amazing finish.
Yeah, you get a win there in Kansas. Airport Raceway, sounds like a pretty cool name. Was it used to be an airport, or it was a or it's next to an airport?
You know, I'm not completely sure, but it is next to an airport, so I'm guessing that that has something to do with it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm going to look that track up, definitely, and we'll give them a little prop up on the page
Well. It's an amazing track.
Go ahead.
They're definitely really great people there, and that track is really fast. It was probably one of my favorites now.
All right, so let me ask you a question. What's your normal weekly track that you attend every week?
So my local track is Honor Speedway in Pueblo, Colorado, as well as El Paso County Raceway in Calhoun, Colorado.
El Paso?
Yes, El Paso County Raceway.
County? Okay.
And
I'm writing this down. I'm sorry.
Fine.
All right. So out of your whole career, what is your biggest win that you ever got?
The one that meant the most to me and was probably the biggest was at the beginning of the season in the dwarf car. I actually completely won my first ever main event in dwarf cars. I came around the track and I didn't really realize I was in first until it happened. And that night was really special. We had some family events going on at the track. My sister's gender reveal was there. So being able to bring that win home and just that was an amazing night.
Yeah, sometimes it's just meant to be, you know. Like you said, you had a gender reveal there. It was family all there. Everybody got to see you win. Yeah, that's a huge thing when you got people there that you love watching you race. And that's an awesome deal there. So what is one race that you would love to win?
I would love to win at a national, just any national. You know, every race that I get to go is already a win for me. So I don't know if there's a specific race that I would like to win, but I would definitely like to push to win for a national.
Definitely. All right, so how are you sitting in points right now at your local tracks?
Well, for my region, as you would call it, we don't really pay attention to points. My team doesn't, just because, you know, when you start paying attention to points, then you start messing up and stuff. I do know I'm in the top three. We have 2 points races left this season, so we're going to see how we finish out, but I'm hoping we get a really good finish. We've worked really hard this season, and we've had some really amazing racers competing with us, and so we're going to keep watching it, and when it's final, that's when we're going to get excited.
Awesome. All right, so you got any sponsors you'd like to thank?
I do. My sponsors mean the absolute world to me. Radical Ink and Vinyl, Zabukovic Motors, Four Rivers John Deere, Boardman RV, Desert Hawk Dental, Metal Mart, Midwest Steel, Pueblo Electric Company, and Woodland Park Napa. They have all completely made racing amazing. I can't even begin to express how thankful I am for each and every little sponsor that I have.
Correct. It takes a team to get it done, and
without
the financial help, I know that that's pretty tough. Anything else you'd like to talk on?
No, I would just really like to see, of course, being a female and younger in the racing community, I always want to inspire other people to try it out and try new things. I think it's a sport for everybody, and everybody can be competitive, and it's one big community, and I love it. And I would also just like to say thank you to my family and my friends for all the support, especially my dad. He's helped me come so far since I was just 10 years old, and I can't wait for the years to come and all the racing memories to make.
Definitely. We're going to definitely have to try to get over to Colorado to watch a race or two. definitely
we'll
like to come watch you on the track sometime. It's been an honor to have you on the show. Thank you. Good luck for the rest of the season. And maybe during the off season, we'll get you to call in and we'll talk a little bit how the end of the season went for you.
Of course. And my Facebook for the racing is KRE Racing. If anybody would like to follow that, we post pictures, updates, anything to do with our program. It's definitely our biggest way to outreach. And
all right. Tell me that one more time. What's the page?
KR Racing
on Facebook.
Yeah.
All right. We'll definitely we'll share that link. And thank you so much for coming on tonight. Keep doing what you're doing. Good luck on the rest of the season. We'll get you on the off season to come on in and tell us how your season ended this season.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling. That is Kelsey Edwards there. She drives at the Wharf in the Colorado, Kansas area. She races at several different tracks. We'll be posting links on the Southern Dirt Track Report page here, and we will get the word out on those tracks that she runs out, as well as her racing page. You can catch her at KR Racing on Facebook.
KRE Racing.
KRE Racing.
Yes.
All right, we got it. KRE Racing on Facebook, and we will definitely share the link to her racing page, and everyone like it up. Thank you once again, Kelsey, for coming on, and good luck.
Of course, thank you.
All right, we're moving right ahead here. We got Amanda McApplin.
Hey.
Jackson Motor Speedway. Let's talk a little bit about Jackson. Had a great show last week. Got a big show coming up this week, KMSA in the house. Tell us how last week went, and we'll start off with last week.
Last week was great. We had a wonderful, wonderful show. Everything just went real smooth and very unusual for dirt track racing. But everything was great. And BJ Robinson did win the race. Michael Arnold broke an axle. He started on the pole, and he broke an axle in lap 3 and had to come off the track, which that was a pretty big disappointment for our guys. They all know that we are a big Michael Arnold supporter, and we travel with him. When we're not racing, we're racing with him. So that was a big disappointment for us. But BJ Robinson did took the lead most of the night, and actually went over Logan Martin and is now leading the Comp Cam's points. So that did happen, and I don't know if y'all know this or not, but the All-American will wind their season up with us. So that's going to be a heck of a race, because that will be the end of their points. So all those big names, those guys that are trying to win those points for that end of the season, they will have to be there. And so it's in a race right now because BJ and Logan are still battling it out. So we still got a few more races before we know what the final is on that. So that was this past weekend. Great night. We had a wonderful night. All racing was good. Factory Stock was a great race. We had a good field of cars there. And then we also had a really good field of Hot Shots. Street Stock was down a little bit. That's to be expected after the Street Stock Nationals for a few weeks, though, so that's normal. And then the crates and the 602s, they came in and did really, really well also.
This past weekend, the weather was nice. I don't know how it was up there by y'all, but the weather was really it was cool this past weekend, honestly. It was weird to have September with a nice cool, and this weekend is supposed to be just as cool.
Yes.
Especially at nighttime. It's beautiful to be on the track when it gets a little colder. The weather was probably perfect up there by y'all.
It was great.
So tell us about what's happening. Tell us about what's happening this weekend coming up.
We have got the Cajun Mini Stock Association coming in for a 1500 to win. This is not a normal series for even the state of Mississippi. I want to say this is the one and only show in Mississippi this year for the KMSA series, not only with us, but for the entire state. So they don't come here very often. They're a little four-cylinder, late-model style car. They're really cool. They're really fun to watch. We have had a couple come in and try to fall in with the street stocks to kind of get some laps in to get ready for this race. I'm assuming 1500 is a good purse for them. they're real excited. I stay in communication with Brandon Phillips, who is the director of that series, and he and I, we've become really good friends getting ready for this race. We are going to do something with 9/11 with this race, because it is the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. I think a lot of us racetracks are doing that. I think the Reds are doing something. I'm pretty sure everybody in the racing world is doing something for that, but we are going to fall in suit with that also. But no, they're real excited about coming. I'm excited about them coming. Everybody's real, real excited. I hear everybody say, oh, we want the mini stocks back. We want the mini stocks back. Well, they're coming. They'll be here Saturday. So.
Yeah, definitely. I was at the last time they came, which has probably been 5-6 years ago, and they've run like 25-30 cars, so it's definitely going to be a full field. These guys race, and to me they look like little late models. They're pretty fast, and we used to run them down here at two tracks in Louisiana, but both tracks have since, well, one closed down and the other one stopped running them because there was less and less of them. But it's a class that I would like to see grow in the state, and these guys, they put on a show for you each and every week.
What else
is going on this weekend?
We're going to do the KMSAs along with our weekly racing classes, the street stocks, the hot shots, the 602, 604, and the what am I leaving out? Hot shots. Oh, factory stocks. Oh, my God.
Factory stocks.
I'm out with a bunch of friends tonight. But I can't go out with them on Friday and Saturday nights, because I'm getting ready for races. So we've changed our social gatherings to Thursday nights. So that's what we do on Thursday nights. But anyway, so that's the plan. We're just going to do our weekly classes plus the KMSAs, and then we're going to do something with 9/11. This is going to be interesting. We're going to probably pull Philip Hathcock on this one, because we're going to try to get every car at the racetrack on the track at the same time with an American flag. How this is going to turn out, I do not know, but it should be fun.
Definitely. Always a good time over there. And I had a discussion with somebody this weekend. I forget who it was, but we was at Outlaw Speedway, and we started talking about burgers. Food always comes up for some reason. And we was talking about burgers over at Outlaw, and everybody was saying what track had the best burgers. And I definitely – Jackson got some good burgers over there.
Thank you.
That's always an interesting – thing that we do. We always talk about the food, so.
Yeah, everybody likes our food. We have a lot of pride in our food, because, I don't know, a lot of people don't know this, but Raymond and I have a catering business also. So and my catering crew that travels with me and caters with me, that's my kitchen staff at the racetrack. So so we try to keep our standards up with our food, not only because we want good food there, but we have a name to uphold with our catering business also. And so we do not skimp on the cost of food. We don't do anything like that. Everything's top notch and what you need in a good restaurant style venue.
Definitely. Yeah, it's good food all the time, and I do appreciate everything Jackson does. I know y'all share our stuff, and we love you guys, and we definitely come up and see y'all soon.
Well, we appreciate it, and I look forward to everybody coming. I hope everybody's able to come out for the All-American. I think the All-American is going to be a really big deal this year. We're expecting it to be a really big deal this year, especially with it being the final race for the Comp Cam series. And then also we're going to add a lot of money to our weekly classes also. So it should be a lot of higher purses than normal. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We did that a couple of years ago. I guess it was last year we did that, and it really did well. And everything turned out real good. So I think it'll be a good turnout. We're excited about it.
Awesome. We can't wait to hear some results from next week, and we'll see you on Thursday night.
All right. Thanks, Artie. Y'all have a good day.
All right. You too. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. That is Amanda McAvoy. She is Jackson Motor Speedway. And we talked a little KMSA this weekend. These guys always put on a good show. And I'll definitely go out and support. I guarantee you they're going to be 20-plus, maybe 30. These guys always bring in a good car count on the week that they come to Jackson. It's been, like you said, a couple years. She said a couple years, 3 or 4 years since they came. Last time they came, they had 25. I remember I was there. And I'll go out and support. It's 9-11 this Saturday. It's a touchy time for all of us. And we'll get onto that on that speech here in a little while. But a good racing this weekend all the way around. They have big shows everywhere, from the Rev to Super B coming up in a couple weeks. It's just a good race weekend coming up this weekend on the 9-11 weekend. So we got Jake Dillon on the line here.
What's up, Artie? How you doing this evening?
All right. How are you?
Man, we've been holding it down since I say all is well down there in Louisiana with you?
Yeah, you know, we had a couple trees down from the storm. The main thing was no gas, no power, you know, the basics of a hurricane. It was a pretty rough week and a half down here, and but we're slowly getting back to normal. Not everybody has power yet. I just got power just the other day, so blessed
That's
to
right.
have the power back, and blessed to be here live on our podcast.
Amen to that one. Amen to that one. I got that text last Thursday that you wasn't going to be on the air, and I sent her the text back. I said, well, I said, boss lady, I guarantee they ain't got power. Which you know from me and you talking in the past, I am a lineman. I do work for B&B Electric out of we used to be out of Brandon. Now we're out of Canton, Mississippi. And we've got about eight crews down there in Louisiana right now still. Guys been there and ain't been back home yet. You know, and that's what we live for, though. We live for each storm. It ain't just one storm and the next. Each time they talk about one coming in, hurricane, tornado, you name it, we're there. First responders to when y'all's lights go out. But let's get on some Greenville Speedway stuff, man. It's been a wild week last week, man. We had a factory shock showdown, $1,000 shootout, Carl and Charity put on, just, you know. And we knew we were going to bring some cars in. We had 20 cars show up already. You know, anytime you throw some money out from factory stock guys, they come out to woodworks. Would have loved to have more cars, but I mean, still 20 with a full field of cars. Because of, you know, the Street Stock Nationals were a couple weeks ago, and got some still recovering from that, the whole deal with that deal. So, like I say, a guy named, by the name of Johnny Pannell, I don't know if you ever heard that name or not, he's big in the factory stock, street stock world. He come down from Guntown, Mississippi, him and his car owner, Charles Moody, and he got hooked on the side of the car for a reason, Artie, you hear me? Come down, made the trip. He texted me Thursday and told me that he was going to come down. Didn't tell nobody that he was coming. And everybody asked me. I told him, you know, I don't know if he's going to show or not. And to make it interesting, well, he showed up and showed out. He statement race car put up $100 for our quick time, and he got that. Delta Fab, a company here in Greenville, put up $100 to each one of the heat race winners. And actually, Johnny won the first heat race. A guy named Dakota Mahoney won the second one, and then the VP of Delta Fab, who is a driver, he can't tell me the whole nine, his name is Justin Reynolds, he's the one that made that $100 a piece happen, and he got a little bit of the money, you know what I mean? It goes to show you, if you work hard and you want something hard enough, he got something that he ended up putting in the race. We had the Parker Motorsports put up $100 for a leading of lap 11, and Johnny Pannell led every lap, Artie. And when I tell you that boy was on the move, he was on the move. But down at the repair facility out of Leland, Mississippi, put up $100 for a hard charger. And none other than down at the repair facility's son, Jay Downs, he went from the back to the front twice and was on six cylinders. Like I say, I give my shout-outs to MRE and Mr. Danny Mitchell down there at Mitchell MRE Racing Engine because he builds a bad motor. Jay was joking with me. He said, I'm on six cylinders. He pulled a valve over after the race, and he was on six cylinders, Artie. Have you ever seen a factory stock almost win a race on six cylinders? I mean, son, he was on the rail. I mean, yeah. I was on the edge of my seat. And I thought it was just a typical race. You've been around the racetrack a long time. I thought it was a typical race of just talking noise. And when he pulled that valve cover off and there was push rods through the rocker arms, I said, wow. Carl Kilgore looked at me. I looked at him. I said, that's amazing. Because I've never seen a push rod go through the rocker arm and the car still run. If he'd have been on all eight, it'd have been old school Tyson Holyfield fight, something like that, or a new school McGregor Mayweather fight. It'd have been real interesting with him and Johnny Fallon. And I look forward to a Gumbo Nationals coming up because Jay told me he's got a few things him and Danny Mitchell are going to do different. And like I say, it's going to be real interesting the factory stock feature at Gumbo Nationals in a few weeks. We've got the last weekly show, which is a fan appreciation night. Carl and Charity got together and they donated some money to put a $500 Vapor Track Hot Shot race on for this weekend. And I'll tell you another one about that Hot Shot deal last weekend. We got the Jimbo Wrinkle's grandson and my nephew are battling for points. And had a bad wreck in the heat race. And I'm talking about they already have like 6 points away from each other. And they called me up in the booth and said, Dylan, can we borrow your car? I said, man, you can buy my car. He said, no, we got to put a number on it because my nephew's car got totaled in the heat race. Well, I let them put the number on it, and then they battled it out in the feature. And it came out right. And there's still 6 points. Landon got 6 points on Jonathan Bates. But this week coming up, we're going to do something special for 9/11. You've seen my little boy's late model. We're going to take 13 cars and 13 flags and 13 soldiers that lost their life over there in Afghanistan a couple weeks ago. And then, of course, we're going to do a fireworks show for 9/11, remembering that, because there's a lot of lives lost on 9/11 20 years ago. I remember watching on TV when I was in junior high. They didn't tell you how old I am. It was a horrible accident, was it not, Artie? I mean, that was rough.
Yeah, I think everybody can remember exactly what they were doing at that time. I remember it like it was yesterday. It's just crazy how time stood still. And you know, they say that time stood still that day, and it definitely did. It's always played in my mind. I watched the show last night on ABC. They had a great show last night on 9/11, and it just brings back all those bad memories of that day. I was in high school. I think I was a freshman maybe, but I remember exactly, you know, where I was when it happened.
I know crazy. Exactly what you mean. I was sitting in the Bible. I was in eighth grade, and I was in Bible class when they come in there and made the announcement. We all looked at each other, and I went, wait a minute. They took us out in the hall and prayed, and then, of course, the next period was history, so we got to watch it all on TV. I mean, it was unreal. It was like we were watching a movie. And I mean,
yeah.
I hate to relive that, and like I say, you know, my kids and all that want to know what 9/11 is about, and then you tell them, you know, it read their little mind. You just see that the wheel spinning, because I mean it was a horrible day for America as a whole, as a country, because I mean one day changed everything, and I mean and,
yep.
And you know and I know we can relate to that in our own personal families. One phone call can change the whole world, but this week we're gonna do our fan appreciation week as well. We're gonna have all the cars that's in the pits come to the front straight away. We're going to do autographs. I'm going to do a Jay Dillon foot race. It's going to be all about the fans this weekend. And Carl and Charity both know, along with our staff, they know that's what Jay Dillon's there for. I'm there for the fans. I wouldn't own a race car or bring a race car to the track if there wasn't no fans in the stands. That's why we come to put on a show. Even though we're there to race, we're there to put on a show. And we're also, I mean, we'll have candy for the kids and stuff. Each race is going to bring... I told each one of my guys that come on my weekly show to bring something, you know, goodies and stuff to the kids, because we're going to let them all get on the track and meet and greet the drivers, something that you don't get to do on every Saturday night. I got off subject on my factory stock race. You know, Artie, I had three local guys Johnny Panel won it, but second and third place went to two of my local guys. And, you know, my head was spun off my shoulders, honestly, because Chad Tice came in second. And Jay Downs came in third. And it was crazy. Like I told Carl, I'm glad to see our local guys get some of the money, you know. And instead of folks from my town coming here and just take the whole thing away like some big shows happen. And it was a good turnout, too. We had a bunch of fans in the stands last weekend. we had 50 cars total, which, I mean, it was about average for a weekly show. But, you know, Gumbo National coming up September 30th, October 1st and 2nd. Greg Ford, he used to drive a super late model for a long, many years. I remember watching him. He come out of the my best friend, brother, all in one. He works for me and me as well, Peter Hazard. He's down there in Louisiana with y'all trying to get power back on. Well, Greg, his father, Mr. Tommy Goodwin, brought the car out, and Greg Ford come out of retirement and come out there and won the heat and feature race. I was blown away. He said, son, I got two in me a year, and he got the two. So, I mean, it was pretty wild, which, of course, my crate car coming in second, my brother, Brent Dillon. So, I mean, and Christian Chambers coming in third. It was a nice night for crate racing. Some of our locals that went out with an LMRA series, Chris Law and them. But, I mean, all in all, we had a good showing last Saturday night for a weekly show. And I look forward to seeing all the fans because it's buy one, get one free admission this weekend at Greenville Speedway. And you know I'm all pumped for Gumbo Nationals. That is our event. That's what we live for. That's our baby. It's 15 years strong coming in this year, 15-year anniversary. And like I say, and time flies so quick that I remember the first Gumbo Nationals. Here it is, the 15th. The guy that started that whole event, Mr. Weston Washington, we're keeping his family in thoughts and prayers. His son, which was one of my classmates, got some bad news last Monday, and, you know, found out he had a hurt back and had cancer in his spine. So, I mean, you know, this one's going to be a little bit special, you know, because that was his baby. And he passed on to us, and now Carl and Charity and myself are upholding the Gumbo Nationals. Anybody that has anything, any questions, concerns, or, you know, need some help on where they're going to stay at, just call us or get on our Facebook, call Kilgore, Charity Kilgore, or Justin Dillon. We will hook you up and get the place to stay if you want to find out if your cars are going to run, because we're going to run supers, we're going to run crate cars, we're going to run street stocks, factory stocks, Vapor Shack Hot Shots, Amber Adding Mods, and Outlaws. And, you know, me and you have had the conversation about them Outlaw cars. I hope to see 15 or 20 of them Outlaw cars because, you know, that's a dying sport. I was like you were talking to KMSA. We used to run that class here at Greenville. And then, you know, everybody got out of the mini stock game. They either went to factory stock or street stock. And I remember running one Gumbo Nationals already with a front-wheel drive in KMSA because we didn't have a front-wheel drive class then. So I run and ended up coming in 10th out of 24 cars with front-wheel drive in KMSA races to Gumbo Nationals. Gumbo Nationals number 12. So, you know, it's that weekend is a full weekend. Just found out we're going to have a DJ Friday night, cornhole. You said you're going to come up and stay and experience the whole Gumbo Nationals experience. The DJ is free to the grandstands after the races, so when everybody come over to pit and, you know, have them set up on a trailer and playing live music, playing cornhole, the whole nine. It's going to be a party for sure in the pit afterwards.
That definitely sounds fun. So
I look forward to you coming.
Yep.
Hello?
Thank you so much, Jay Dillon. I appreciate you calling in the show here tonight.
And we'll catch you next Thursday night. God willing, the creek don't rise.
You have a good night. All right, thank you
all
so
thanks.
Much. Yo, that's Jay Dillon, the Jay Dillon Show right here. Good times there, and we appreciate everything they do over at Greenville, and we love having Greenville on board with our show here. Good times. We got Jared Hudson on the line. Jared.
What up, all my country folks? How y'all doing?
Tell us about the show.
Yeah, we is fitting to talk some dirt track racing in South Alabama. So I'm pulling up Tri-County Speedway's Facebook page. So we got Tri-County Speedway racing this weekend. We have Deep South Speedway racing this weekend. And let's go into Tri-County Speedway's race for this weekend. So they've been off the past few weeks because Isaiah Day, his grandmother passed away. She was one of the ones that run the ticket booth for the regular ticket sales. She passed away, which is his mom is Marilyn. Pray for her too. She's been sick, so but pray for their family, what they're going through. And just know that God can provide miracles, and they are racing this weekend. So let's see. We're shaking. All right, reading the page. This weekend will be Crate Racing USA 604 late models, 602 sportsmen and street stocks, as well as pure stocks, junior slingshots, stingers, and bombers. Mods will have the weekend off due to the amount of big money mod races this weekend. Mod guys and gals, your wristbands from the July 30th race are still good. We plan to run your challenge race soon. So this is a cool idea. Tri-County used to do this, and they're going to start to do it again. So they had a race set up where they were combining IMCA mods with the UMP mods. And, of course, you know, usually a UMP will walk all over IMCA mod all day long unless you got the right setup in your IMCA mod. So thanks to Larry Falk at Falk at Motorsports, he got this race set up at Tri-County Speedway because he's got a new IMCA mod that he's been racing at Northwest Florida Speedway. And by the way, he won last weekend at Northwest Florida Speedway when I was there. Really cool to see Larry Falk win. And so he got this race set up. So it's going to be cool to see the IMCA mods, which are coming back strong in the South region. They, you know, 12 to 15 mods at, you know, Northwest Florida Speedway is pretty cool. Bigger than, way bigger than what it used to be. So if we could get a lot of those to show up and race the UMP mods, like Champion Greg Hopkins, some of these big-name guys at Tri-County Speedway, that would be an awesome race to see the IMCA versus UMP. And it's going to be an exciting weekend at Tri-County Speedway. They have the fireworks be on tap as they commemorate the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks on our nation. And let's see, bonus, all first responders, firefighters, police officers, EMTs will receive free grandstand admission this weekend. How awesome is that? Paying it forward to the troops, the first responders, police officers, EMTs, firefighters. That's super cool in my book because those are people that I highly respect. Back the blue, back all those, you know, it's pretty cool. Please remember them in prayer. So that's going to be awesome this weekend. So go support the Day family at the Swamp. And then moving all over to Deep South's Facebook page. So they have updated the results from the Shine Run series. Deep Southern Shine Run points. The factory stocks we have in that series, David Jones is leading Dustin Ladner. David Jones has 106. Dustin Ladner has 96. Chad Robinson is third with 74 points. And look at there, Jeremy Eaton coming on up there. Jeremy Eaton is fourth with 70 points. And then we'll move over to the 604 late models in the Southern Shine Run. Bo Slay is leading in the points with 118. Ryan Bordeaux from Louisiana at 106. Pretty cool. Check out Stephen Jernigan. He's one of the local favorites. Stephen Jernigan is third, and then Tim Anderson is fourth. And then move on over to the Pure Stock in the Shine Run. We have Brian Berger. Check out Brian Berger. Ooh, he's got a huge lead over Terry Mayhair. 162 points to Terry's 146. Tanner Palmer is third, 128. And Cody Wood is 114 and fourth. Cool as grits. Street stop, no surprise. Tommy Lowry is kicking butt and taking names like usual. Tommy Lowry is on fire. He's so far ahead in the street stop and the Shine Run, you pretty much got to win the next every single race to catch him. He's got 198 points. Second place is John Cody with 102. Wyatt Parker is third with 98. And then Chad Robinson is in fourth with 68. Congratulations, Tommy Lowry. He's unbeatable. See if somebody can stop him. Let's see. The vintage class, Hal Kichler, or Kickler, however you want to say it, he's leading the vintage with 190. Tommy Gilmore is second, 156. Caden White is 152. J.D. Fuquay is 142. Pretty cool. And let's see, snare class. Curtis Cotton is leading with 160 points. Alex Berry is second, 132. Brandon Seidner is third, 126. And Tihan Galkowski, I think that's how you say it, is 124 in fourth place. And 602 Sportsman, you got Jason Barnhill leading, really cool, 58 points. Kevin Mitchell is second with 54. Osman Jones is in third with 46. Wow. And it's a big shakeup. Then the modifieds, we have Todd Neuhauser. Todd Neuhauser Racing is 72 points. Ryan Fowler Racing is second with 66. Greg Hopkins in third with 50 points. Joey Moxley is fourth with 48 points. And then this weekend's race, oh, you don't want to miss this weekend's race at Deep South Speedway, the Mississippi State Series, MSCS Super Late Model Challenge Series, roars into the house. It's going to be cool as grits, man. Rated R for racing, rated R for redneck. The top super late model drivers in the South are coming in there. I'm sure Chad Thrash will be there. I'm sure Flying Brian Rickman, he's one of my picks to win. Just so many big name drivers are going to be there this weekend. I think that's going to be the class of the weekend. I'd like to see him break a track record. That'd be cool as grits. You know, see him break a track record. And then the other classes they have racing, let me scroll down and see. Right, open wheel mods, let's see, okay. Mississippi Super Late Models in the house, along with the pure stocks, street stocks, factory stocks, and the junior bomber division. So speaking of junior bombers, parents, get your kids a junior bomber car and come to Deep South Speedway. Basically, you get you a bomber car, soup it up, or just, well, you don't get it from a junkyard, fix it up for your kids, and there's an age limit. I think it's like 14's the age limit, or maybe 13. But anyways, get your kids safe, make it safe as possible, get out there and race. Have your kids race, because we want to see the future of this sport continue to grow with these kids. They've got three cars that's been out there racing so far. We want to see this class grow till it's like 10 or 12 kids out there, you know, a full field every weekend, a full purse, because without these kids, we have no dirt track racing. So I think it's great to see these kids get out there. I know Curtis Duncan's daughter was racing. I think they may have sold their car or changed it to a pure stock. But they had, let's see, the 57 Austin Morris was racing. And we had Riley, I can't think of her name, but she was racing. And that was really cool. Dustin Smiley's daughter, that's what I'm thinking of. She was racing. And so that's really cool. So let's get these kids, get them involved in dirt track racing. You know, hey, we want to see some more females in dirt track racing. Get your girls in there, you know. You ladies, get you a dirt track car, come on out. And I'll probably be at Deep South Speedway this weekend taking pictures. So y'all come out and see me, say hi. I'll probably do my usual pit walk, go live. If you're a driver that would like to be interviewed, let me know, and I will find you at your pits and come interview you, because there should be a lot of cars this weekend at both tracks. I think that dirt track racing is alive and well in the South, and we want to pack the stands. I know football season's coming up. I could care less about football. Racing is way better. It's more important, in my opinion. I'd rather see cars sling mud than a bunch of guys throwing the ball around. So come on out and support your dirt track racing. Show people it's alive and well. It's a great sport. We want to thank the 110 Nation Sports, Chris Creighton and the guys, for doing this show for us. So go like the 110 Sports Nation on their Facebook page. Give them a like and follow. Shout out Chris Creighton, Racetrack Live, Race Chat Live, and Why Not Motorsports Park, the House of Hook announcer. So just and something else I always tell people is, be sure and find your church to go to on Sunday. Every Saturday night, I'm blessed by being able to go to the racetrack. So what I do is I thank God to let me be able to go to the racetrack, because without him, I wouldn't have been able to make it. So go to find your local church. I think that's the best place to be on a Sunday, because we're not promised tomorrow. This is like the Bible says, we need to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And without him, there is no dirt track racing. There is no nothing. So he's number one at Southern Dirt Track Report with us. He's number one with me and my photography. So I got to give God a shout out for, you know, what he does for me and me not being able to make the races. So y'all find your church Sunday. If you ain't got a church to go to, look up Grove Hill Baptist on Facebook, and you'll see our live feed that I run. So, and got any
awesome.
Questions
so
about?
Much,
all right, appreciate y'all tuning in. Bye now.
All right, that's Jared Hudson, y'all, South Alabama Report. We're moving right along here. We got Bridget Walters on the line here, Northwest Florida Speedway update. How are you?
How are you?
Doing good. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Tell us about what happened last weekend at Northwest Florida Speedway.
Well, we had a lot of cars there, man. There was 70 cars. We were so excited. Slingshots, our winner was Madison Tugman. She is been running these slingshots for a while, and she's doing really well. We had about five or six of them out there, and they just enjoy running on that track, and it's so fun to watch them because, you know, they get so excited. And them little youngins, they work together so much. I was talking to one of the moms, and she actually had posted about some stuff on her Facebook about how, you know, you have wonderful friends as you grow up. You have friends in school, basically, and then when you get to the track, you have family. So that was just awesome for those kids. You know, it's not just the kids that work together, but it's other racers that work with those kids and that those kids look up to. And so anyway, so they really enjoy that out there too. Vintage class, Guest and Rogers. Pure Stock was Larry Falk. 602 Sportsman was J.C. Wilson. First time winner race for the Pure Stock class was Kendall Kimmons. And then we got Modified was also L.J. Bomber was Marcus Lee. He actually did not win that race, as in driving. He did not finish in first place, but the first place car got DQ'd for a spring. But, you know, that first place car was Jaden Presley, and he sure can drive. He sure can drive, but rule the rules, and that's what we got to do. We got to go by our rules. So we just try to make it fair all the way around, and there's that. So Marcus Lee did end up winning that race, and then in our Stinger class, Jacob Mashburn won. And then we had a new little thing happen this last week. One of our drivers, Bradley Wolf, had passed away unexpectedly about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now. And so he was a wonderful guy, so very kind, and him and his brother raced together in the vintage class. And so we put together, Scott came up with this whole wanting to make sure that he is remembered for who he was. And he had worked on a lot of other cars in several different classes, and they had a lot of great friends. So we did a Wolfpack race, and his brother actually won that race last night. So we were able to run slingshots, modifieds, and pure stocks in that race, and his brother won in a vintage car. So he was so excited about that, and it just, you know, makes everybody's heart smile. And that was for Bradley. His brother Robert won that. So that was a fun thing too. We also had fireworks. It was a great night. But there was so many cars, and we were so very thankful for that.
Yes, always a plus to have that many cars. Seen on Northwest Florida Speedway's Facebook, the Mountain City Motor Speedway, the kart track there, free this weekend for general admission.
That's a fact. So Mountain City Motor Speedway is a go-kart track. It's a small little go-kart track out here in Baker as well. The address is 7971 Red Barrow Road, so it's just down the road from our track. It is free general admission this weekend. They are coming back, so they took the whole month of August off. And so they took the whole month of August off because it was just far too hot, and It just, you know, the weather was not looking real great. And anyway, so the gates open at 3 o'clock, racing at 7 o'clock over there. A general admission is free. Pit passes are $15 for adults 8 and over, and then kids 8 and under are $5. But, you know, they have a good little show out over there. Jesse and his family and Jimmy Landry, they run that show, and he really does get the stuff going over there for them. You know, they're just starting out this year. They started really doing it as full-time racing this year. They've been doing a little bit of backyard tracking and just enjoying and having fun and getting a crowd to where he could start the business going. And so that's what he's doing over there. And he's doing a great job, and it's pulling extra cars every week. You know, they have about 10 classes that they can run. That doesn't mean they always run, but they do run a lot of them over there. And so it's just fun stuff. And if you're ever in the area, they race every other weekend opposite to our racetrack. And they have a great time over there. There is another go-kart track in our local area as well. It's called Oak Grove, and they run on our night of racing that we run. So it's a little difficult I can post all of their stuff to our track, which we do plan on doing this time too whenever they start putting it out. But I'm not particularly up to speed on all of the things that they do. I haven't been to that track personally. But I do know the guy that owns it and runs it is Dylan Harrison, and he's a good guy. He has a heart for that too. He has a heart for those kids that are trying to run, and he's really trying over there too. So we have two go-kart tracks real close to the big track, and so we try to support them all as we can. But weekend is definitely for Mountain City, and we would love to have you over there.
Definitely. And y'all have a drag strip right there somewhere. I've seen it off the interstate.
That's a fact. We also have a drag strip in Holt. So not in Baker, yeah, but in Holt, which is just down the road. There is a big drag strip, and they race Fridays, Saturdays. I don't even know all the particulars about there. I think I've been there twice, maybe three times in my whole entire life, and I've lived here for the most part. But that's something that they do over there, and it stays hopping. You can always check that out too.
Definitely. So if anybody's in that Florida Panhandle area, there's a lot of things going on right there. Two go-kart tracks, Northwest Florida Speedway. They got the drag strip down there. It's a racer's dream if you live in that area, no doubt.
That's right. You got all kinds of racing. They put, you know, they don't just do stock cars or funny cars over there too. They do motorcycles. They do street cars. They do all kinds of stuff out there is what I'm being told. So, yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the things that we got coming up, too, at our track. So in October, all of our races can be topless. So October 2nd is our next race. Let me not jump too far ahead. September 18th is our next race, and that's our first responder night. So it will be a discounted price. I'm not 100% sure how we're going to do it yet, if it's just going to be a discounted rate or if it's going to actually be a free thing for first responders. A lot of the times it's definitely discounted pretty well for them because we totally appreciate everything that they do. And, you know, where would we be in life without those people?
Yep.
The October races are going to be a topless race, and we're racing October 2nd, which is a vintage powder puff, and October 16th. That is going to be our Travis Sowers Memorial race and our Bradley Wolf Memorial race, too. So we've got that going on. And there's money added to those, and all of their payouts were going to end. So, like, Travis Sowers is going to be his number was 21, and so all of the payouts in his specific classes that he really worked with is going to be end in 21, all payouts. And then for Bradley, it's all going to end in 29 because that was his car number. So the payouts will end in 29 for all classes or for all of the vintage payout that night. We also will have track or treat for the kids that night. And so we're excited about it. We're super excited. We got a lot of fun things coming up.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's good to have a good good time when you do what you do, when you love what you're doing. Couldn't get that out. Always a pleasure having you on the show here. And thank you for everything you're doing over there in the Panhandle. Really getting the word out on all these tracks. We do appreciate that, and we appreciate you being on our Talking Dirt here each and every week. Got some big shows coming up there in Northwest Florida. I know a lot of people are getting excited. I definitely will be at the October 16th one, I believe. That is awesome. We always try to make that Halloween race. It's always a good time, and we'll hope to see you then.
All right, I'll be there.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Bridget Walters, y'all. That is Northwest Florida Speedway. She is also talking about Mountain City Motor Speedway free general admission this weekend. If you like kart racing, it's just right down the street from the big track there in Baker, Florida. Go check them out. It's going to be a good time there. And we are rocking and rolling here. All right, we got T.J. Pratt, the man with the plan, on the line here today. What is going on?
What's going on, Artie? Just trying to get this car ready for this weekend.
That 712 has been pretty quick. Tell us about that car.
Yeah, man, we working on it. We're getting better each and every weekend. Man, the car, I like to say I built it. I've pretty much done everything in it but the cage. We built it earlier this season, and we just been fine-tuning it up, getting better and better every weekend.
Now, let's talk about a couple weeks ago. It might have been a month ago, 2 months ago now, but there was an incident on the raceway there where you had early on in the race, you had spun out in turn two, had to move to the back of the pack, and you came through the pack, which was probably about 16, 17 cars, and you had to come from the rear and had to do a lot of work, and you wound up with a great finish there. Tell us about that week in particular. I really enjoyed watching that race.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that was if I'm thinking right, you're probably talking about Hattiesburg, and I believe that was the second time I've ever been in that car. And only my second time on Hattiesburg's track. And I did. I spun out, come all the way from the rear, got a second place finish. Didn't put a dent on the car that night, if I'm not mistaken. Just a hard charge. It's happened to me a couple of times. Actually, this past weekend, I did the same thing. The last time I raced at Hattiesburg, the weekend before last, I hit Joseph Graham pretty hard, man, on a restart, and I couldn't be that guy taking the lead. He took out about half the pack when he wrecked, and with their no fault rule, I didn't have to go to the back, but I did it anyways. And there wasn't quite that many cars on the track. I think there was 10, somewhere around in there. And same thing, man. I charged all the way back up to the front, second place, and coming to the checkered flag in turn four, the leader got a little sideways, and I let off to keep from driving through him, and we made contact. I straightened him up. He went took on the checkered, and I went right on the infield. It wasn't the finish we wanted, but it felt good, to be able to come from the back, right back up to the front. I feel like we got a good car, and we're getting better every weekend, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Tell us about your racing career. When did it start, and how long you been doing it for, and –
So dirt track racing, this is my first full year. I started when Outlaw Speedway opened up this time last year. That was my very first time ever on a dirt track in a V8 rear-wheel drive. Back when Minge was open, we built a Stinger car, and they shut down before I was really able to race it a whole bunch. I guess that was about 12 years ago. I've pretty much been around motorsports all my life, drag racing, goat carts, dirt bikes, four-wheelers, all that stuff. But this is my first full year racing a factory stock dirt car.
And I know you're enjoying it because each and every week you're up there battling for the lead. Car fast. You're a natural behind that wheel, no doubt. Tell us about what's the plans going forward.
Yeah, man, we just, you know, everybody keeps saying I'm so close to getting that feature win, but I'm not buying it, man. I'm racing against a bunch of good guys. It's been racing a long time, you know what I mean? And yeah, my car is fast. I'm up in the front, but you know, I feel like I still got a good ways to go before I get that feature win. I mean, there's your Michael Williams, your Dustin Ladners, Jeremy Eatons, all them. I mean, them guys are fast. They've been doing it a long time. They're good. And I mean, we're going to keep working as long as I got the help. You know, I can't do it by myself. I got a good crew helping me. And you know, my sponsors, they're helping me out. As long as I got their help, you know, I'm going to keep pushing forward. And hopefully we'll get us a feature win. If not, you know, we're still having fun doing it. And as long as I got a car to race, I'll be doing it.
No doubt. That car is, I'm telling you, you are going to be a household name here pretty soon. Everybody's talking about that 712. Like you said, just got to find that victory lane. And once you pop it, though, that's going to be it. It's going to be nonstop, I believe. You'll be in there every week.
Yeah, believe it or not, man, I lack some power right now. You know, we've got an old worn-out motor. It was sponsored to me by one of my sponsors, but it's been racing a long time. It's been racing, you know, 10, 12 years, and it's just wore out. Hopefully this off-season, you know, I can hopefully we can gather up some funds and freshen it up and you know, get a little more power out of it. You know, hopefully we'll be knocking on them guys' rear bumper.
Definitely. There's another Pratt that races, racing in the Stinger class. Is that how's that relation to you?
So yeah, there's actually two Pratts in there. The 711, the little yellow Stinger, that's my dad. You know, it wasn't long after the first couple times I raced, he said, you know, heck, I want to do it, and so we bought him a little Stinger car, and we're fighting problems with it. He's doing good, but he's every race, I don't know if you see it, but, you know, he starts off real good, and he falls back. The car starts missing, spitting and sputtering, and you know, we're trying to diagnose it every race, trying to get him a little better. But I think we're getting close, getting it running a little better, and he's got a fast car, too. He's going to be on up there as soon as we get it running right. And there's another little Carlos Pratt. He's no relation to us. A lot of people keep asking us that, but no, he's no relation to us. But Jay Pratt is my dad.
Sweet. I was wondering. I didn't know what the relationship was there. That's awesome to hear. That little yellow car, it takes off pretty good, like you said, though. As the race goes on, it goes it goes a little south, but let's talk a little bit about your sponsorships. Who you got on board with you this year?
So I got my sister, Taryn Pratt Flint with Southern Oaks Realty. Oh man, she's helped me tremendously. Polk's Drugs, they're in Biloxi, on Potts Ferry Road. They've helped me. Bass Bucks and Birds, Zach Russian. He's helped me a lot, get me started. Robert's Race Cars, little Ronnie Robert, man, he has helped me so much on my setup. You know, anytime I need something, he's there for me. Good guy. The Sally Marie Crab Boat, that's myself and my dad's business that we do. We're commercial blue crab fishermen, and you know, there's one other guy, you know, that he's helped me out tremendously. He'll know who he is if he hears this, and I just want to thank him too. I don't want to, you know, put it public. I don't know how he'd feel about it, but he's helped me tremendously. He'll know who he is. And you know, my family, my wife, she's been so supportive. My little girl, she loves coming with me. My in-laws, my buddy Vince, he's my crew chief. He's helped me out a lot, my tire guy. You know, I'd also like to thank my home track, Outlaw Speedway. Bad news coming on with them this week, but you know, they're going to get better, and just have faith in them. They're doing everything they can to make it better, and and he's really helped us, especially us in the factory stock class. He's bumped our pay up, man, because we're having such a big turnout, and I feel like he'll do that for any class if y'all bring the car count to him. So y'all support him. Let's get him back going and just making a good turnout for him.
Well, I got a message here. I'm not sure if I'm going to say this right, but when Lena Thibodeau said it's all in that mullet.
Yeah, she likes that. It flaps in the wind. I think it helps me. It's like a built-in spoiler or something.
Yeah, something. Charles Young said mullet nation.
I think it's making me faster. Hopefully the longer it gets, faster we'll get.
There you go. Hey, nothing wrong with that. If it makes it go quicker, keep doing it. I love everything about the 712, and I'm excited to call the races when you're out there. You're one of my favorite drivers, and I don't really know you that well, but from this year alone, I really enjoy watching the 712 run at both Hattiesburg and at Outlaw. Tell us about, you got the heat races that you seem to be dominating in, and, like you said, you just got to get that one feature win in.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be it's going to be good.
I've probably won 10 heat races this year, you know what I mean? I've been killing them. There ain't many that I haven't won. But, you know, we've had some mechanical problems as well that's held us back. But we're going to get better. We're going to get closer. And before I go off, I just want to thank you for everything you do, recording the races, you know, coming out, just spreading the word about the sport. And I appreciate everything you do as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you for being on the show. And we're going to be cheering you on here this Saturday night at Outlaw.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, man. Hopefully we're going to make Hattiesburg and Outlaw this weekend.
Awesome. We'll be cheering. Hashtag Mullet Nation, I believe, is going to be a trending topic here.
Sounds good.
Good luck this weekend, and we will see you at the track.
Thank you, Artie.
All right. That is TJ Pratt. That is the driver of the 712 Factory Stock at Outlaw Speedway. Always up there in the front, really good. We enjoy watching him each and every week, and we are excited to see him again this weekend coming up. All right, we got Kevin Dixon on the line here. Kevin Dixon, Dothan Motorsports Park. What is going on over there in your neck of the woods?
Nothing much, Artie. We're just getting ready for a big 4 weekends in a row of racing coming up at the end of October and beginning of November.
Tell us about that.
So October the 9th and October the 16th, we're going to have weekly races, just our weekly classes, weekly payouts. October the 24th, that's a Sunday, we're going to have the third and final last man standing race of the year. That's like a 150-lap demolition derby-style endurance race. We're going to have monster trucks the 30th and 31st of October, and then what I've been waiting to announce on here for a long time, November the 4th, 5th, and 6th is going to be our first annual Peanut Classic. We got 6 classes of racing for that. Street stocks are $5,000 to win. 602 late models, $3,000 to win. Open wheel modified, $2,500 to win. Vintage cars are $2,000 to win. Enduro / pure stocks are $3,000 to win. And then your 4 cylinders are $1,200 to win that weekend.
Man, that sounds like a great weekend. I did see the flyer. The flyer looks awesome. We will share it on the Southern Dirt Track Report. Definitely, as soon as we're done with the show, we'll definitely share that flyer up. The Peanut Classic, exciting time there. The 4th, there's going to be a practice night. The 5th is heat and qualifying. And then the 6th is the show. That's going to be a pretty big deal. The the National Peanut Festival is also in November, correct?
Yes, it actually starts the night that we'll do qualifying and heat race. It actually starts, although we have no affiliation with that. It's still going to be pretty cool to be able. Peanuts is a big money maker and a way of life for so many people in this area. So it's going to be cool to kind of pay tribute and heritage to all those farmers and name this race the Peanut Classic. our track's actually, we got a peanut field on one side and a peanut field on the other side. So.
Yeah, peanuts are pretty big down there. I've been to Dothan. We just drove through, but we wound up staying there for 3 days. We enjoyed the city itself, and we got to go tour the grounds that the festival's on and all that. Pretty big deal there. Everywhere as you look, there's peanut something going on in the city of Dothan. Like you said, it's a way of living, and it's a great little city. If you never visit Dothan, the city itself, get over there and visit. It's a good vacation spot. I learned that it's a good vacation spot, and it's a nice little town itself.
Yes, sir, absolutely. We got all kind of little odds and ends things to do, and if you'll go to some of our bigger attractions, we actually have little statues of peanuts with faces painted on them. So peanuts are real big down here.
Definitely, definitely. All right, so tell us about this. October 9th is the next race.
Yes, sir. We're going to get we just finalized the dates for those. We're going to get we know for sure that we'll have street stocks, enduro/pure stocks, and four cylinders, and we'll make a decision on the other classes. Just pay attention to our Facebook page. One of those races will be the Peanut Classic warm-up, and all the winners of the features will receive a provisional into the Peanut Classic. We're expecting obviously, it's the biggest payout we've ever paid. It's well over $100,000 already and growing. Some people say that's not a lot, but for our little track, that probably doubles, if not triples, the biggest payout we've ever paid out. And we're expecting triple the amount of cars that we've ever had. We've got some really big street stock names already committed, verbally committed. And we're just looking forward to it. They're going to go 50 laps for $5,000 to win. So that's going to be a battle of attrition for the street stocks.
Definitely. That's some good money there, $5,000 to win. I know for a fact that you have some cars coming in from different places to try to get that money. And we'll advertise for you and hopefully get some car count. We'll get the car count way up for that. That race, actually, November 4th, 5th, and 6th, I'm not sure if there's anything else going on that weekend, too. So you might have more than what you hopefully it's like that.
Did our homework. We definitely did our homework, and we tried not to book. I told you for like three straight weeks there that we had a big announcement coming. This race has been in the works for several months, just trying to plan it out, make sure we had the resources and stuff, and we finally got a date finalized, and we don't think we've booked on top of anybody, at least within Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, and Alabama. So we're hoping to have a there's
yeah,
some names like.
They will come. I promise you that. They will come.
Yes, sir. We've been we've got a good relationship with a couple of street stock drivers that are pretty big names. Chad Thrash is verbally committed, and we've got some guys at Trackstar House Cars. They verbally committed, so we're hoping for some. We've talked to the Hunt the Front crew, who just made the World 100, by the way, and they're very interested. So we're hoping to get some pretty big names to the little 3/8 mile red clay track in South Alabama.
Nothing wrong with that. Look. That's going to be exciting to see Chad Thrash there. He dominated the Street Stock Nationals, so let's see what that car can do. That's the first annual Peanut Classic. Tell us about the prices to get in and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so the prices to get in, again, we did our homework, try to make it competitive for everybody. Your entry fees for your classes, we are going to provide a pre-entry option for you, and you save quite a bit of money. For your four-cylinder cars, your pre-entry is going to be $100. Late entry is $125. Vintage car is the same thing, $100 pre-entry, $125 late entry. Open wheel modified, 602 late models, and enduro/pure stocks. So their pre-entry will be $125, and late entry will be $150. The street stocks pre-entry is going to be $140. Late entry is going to be $160, and all of those numbers are on our flyer. 3-day pit pass is $100. Two-day pit pass is 75. There's not going to be a one-day pit pass option. And your kids can get in the whole pit weekend for $35. We do have some RV spots that are $40 a piece, but we don't have a whole lot, so you want to get them quick. ATV four-wheelers, $10 for the whole weekend. We will have reserved pit parking. Those are $40 a piece. And then general admission, your three-day would be $50, two-day $45. Just Saturday is going to be $25. Just Friday is going to be $20, or just Thursday is going to be $10. And like I said, we're hoping for a huge car count. We don't want to send nobody home, but we're hoping that we have to send at least 20 cars a class to the house because they did not transfer out of the main. That is what our goal is.
Definitely. And look, just the Stinger money, $1,200 to win. The most I've seen this year, I think, was $1,000 to win in our area. So that's good money for four cylinder. Vintage $2,000 to win. Sportsman 602 late models $3,000. Street stock $5,000. Pretty good money there. Up for grabs, even open wheel modified, $2,500 to win. I'm sure this race is going to be huge, and it's exciting that it's in November. Definitely gonna be there on that Saturday night for sure. And what about the sponsors? You want to give any shouts out to the sponsors of that race?
Yeah, we want to thank RockAuto.com. Also want to thank Renegade Race Fuels. They have come on big time. Regional homes of Bonifay, Holland Motorsports of Dothan, O'Reilly Auto Parts of Dothan, Barnes Family Fencing, LLC, Accurate Metals. We want to thank Chris Walker Electric, Atkinson's Realtors, and a big shout-out to Circle Track Performance. They're going to be there with their parts trailer. And the last time I talked to our promoter, I believe they had put up $800 or somewhere around that number. I could be wrong. Already for heat race winners. So we've already got some gratuity awards, and I think that's just going to get bigger. So like I said, right now the payout's over $100,000, and if we can get some more sponsors to come on board, and we can make it even bigger and better and pay some of our heat race renters and so on and so forth.
Definitely. Look, it's exciting time over at Dothan. I'm glad y'all got a bunch of stuff lined up for the month of October. The last man standing, October 24th. It might see me there for that, too. That sounds like it would be a fun time to go see. The monster trucks are coming on the 30th and the 31st. Good times at Dothan coming up, and we appreciate everything you do here if y'all, you know, coming on our show. Dothan Motorsports Park is located at 426 Budmore Road, Cottonwood, Alabama, and the area code there is 36320. Any last words you want to say?
Y'all pay attention to our Facebook page. We have a list of rules for that last man standing race. Like I said, it's just a stock car, small truck, or SUV. It cannot be a race car. It cannot have a roll cage in it. $2,000 to win, winner take all, and it's only $35 to enter car and driver. You can get a car for like $500. The first race we had with them this year, we had 75 cars and started them three wide. For 150 laps, and it was absolutely entertaining. The only cautions we throw is if somebody's on fire upside down or the track is completely blocked. So it's a good time for sure.
Man, that sounds like a great time. Y'all need to check that out, October 24th. We will definitely send a link to the page and get people to jump on board with that one. That one sounds fun. All right, thank you so much, Kevin. For calling, and we appreciate everything that that you do over there. And 100 plus cars for that last race that y'all had for the for the last man standing. And it sounds like a crash fest. It sounds like a good time. So three wide start should be interesting.
Yes, sir, Artie. Thank you for having us, man. Hope y'all are doing well down there in Louisiana. Y'all are definitely still in our prayers.
Definitely, thank you. We need them down here. All right, y'all, we are going to move right along here. We got our North Mississippi, Alabama, South Tennessee, the man with the plan, Dave Chisholm. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Artie. How you doing, buddy? I'm doing okay.
Awesome, awesome. Tell us about what you got going on.
Oh, man, we got so much going on, we don't know what we're doing there. You know, we had that, we wasn't on last week, had a lot of rain, so there's a lot of us didn't get to race. We did get some weekend racing in this weekend, though, and a little kart racing at the Mag also. But we started, we're going to have a big weekend for the Magnolia this past weekend with the Comp Cam series coming in with the super late models and their crew, officiating crew, and the whole nine yards. I got to the track and it was packed. It was no almost no parking spots left on in the pits. It was jam packed, and of course it'd been pretty much good clear weather all week. And here come race time, we got in our packed the track. We got in our Everclass, got in hot laps. Prepared the national anthem, and Mother Nature said hello and rained us out one more time. So we continued the program. I think we started on the track racing around 4 o'clock Monday and moved the schedule over to Monday where the Comp Cam series elected to travel on. So we missed that big event, but there was still a huge crowd come back Sunday for real good racing that transferred from daylight in the dark and made it interesting for track changes, track adjustments for everybody. But like I said, we started off as day race. Track was pretty good. It went black pretty quick. Johnny Stokes watered it there before we went feature racing and put a little water on it, rolled it down, and brought the moisture right back up, bonded it good, and immediately the speed instead of being black ice where you had to tiptoe and be a real finesse fairly on the gas driver, it was almost hammered down. It was almost wide open racing the rest of the night. No bottom to get around, but all up top next to the second line from the wall maybe was the fast line around it. And 604s, they were three entries there, two of the best, or well, they're all some of the best round. Two of the best, though, going at it. I mean, tooth and nail was Evan Ellis and Darryl Beckwith. And it was real good racing, them two that are leading the field. It was Evan Ellis come checkers first and Beckwith second. And Cale Finley was third in the 38F in the 602. They were 12 entries total in that class. And then the 602, Great Racing USA Sportsman, had 28 total entries. Pretty much green flag racing, a couple cautions. 33, SJ Auto Sales, Nashville, Cody Chisholm finished first. Second was the 54 P machine, the Rocket of Chance Pennington, followed by 27 car Tony Sylvester, was top three in 602s. And then we went to Great Racing USA Modified Sportsman, also known as Open Wheel Modified. Once again, the track dominated again by Shea Knight in the number three core racing car, followed by, let me get his name right here, I hate when I can't read my own writing there. I'm just have to skip his last name. But Seth finished second to 22 car, not bad right there. Oh, my goodness. What a report. All right. Third place car. Gibson Chuck in the 10 car. I'm sorry about the Seth car, number two car. But we'll move right along into street stock action. There are 17 entries for Great Racing USA Street Stock, Mississippi Street Stock. Regular points race all night for all divisions, so it was tough up front with them. They was also hammered down wide open right around the rim. It was led from flag to flag, pretty sure, by the K1 car of Estes there. Dwayne Estes, he led every lap, I do believe. The second place car was the finisher of Mississippi's most wanted there, Mr. Leroy, the Purple Jacket champion himself, followed by the 11 car, track star car, of Jamie Surtis there out of Alabama. So Jamie done double duty, some of these guys did, in between modifieds and street stocks, or between street stocks and factory stocks, had double duty. We'll go into factory stock division. There was 32 entries there, the largest class of the night, followed by the 602s, which had 28. Factory stocks, they split it up, had two features. So the first feature winner was 18P car, Johnny Panel, followed by Nathan Page in the 16 car, third place car, the 14 Freaky Pass car of Aiden Fletcher, was the top three in Feature Race 1. Feature Race 2 was won by Brian Fortner in the 99 machine, followed by number two with C.J. Hodges, and Jamie Southern double duty for the driving for the D1 car. He came in third in that race. Jamie had a couple top threes this weekend in two classes. And last but not least is the little hot shot class. We had three entries, and winner was Taylor Murphy in a 3M car, the 16, Dr. Robert Eaton, and Howard Law finishing up in the last spot there. So that's pretty much the car action from the MAG and Magnolia. Maybe we'll resume in a couple of weeks. I think another regular points race. And the Mini Mag track, the go-kart track, is scheduled to race this Sunday. Before I get into that, there is a big race this weekend at Columbus Speedway, the old track, the Bull Ring, Mississippi's oldest dirt track. Continuously running every year since 1962, so she's still in operation. I think Saturday night paying good money, 1,000 to win, I believe 602, and maybe 150 guaranteed start money for it in another class or two. But a lot of good racing and some money up for everybody this weekend at the Bull Ring at Columbus Speedway. You can go to Facebook and get all the particulars, the gate fees, starting times, and all that. And Sunday at 3 o'clock, go-kart racing at the Magnolia Motor Speedway, on the track, inside the track, at the Mini Mag. And just a reminder to maybe some guys that's coming that do listen, this weekend we will have scales set up and start getting everybody laid out, what class they run, and get them headed towards the right weight and all of that. And probably going to do a little engine checking just to make sure everybody does fit in the class they're supposed to there. Probably and the carburetor size and a valve lift probably, but just trying to get everything sort of like get them herded into the right group there where we're all pretty much even in every class. So we're not particularly just going to go down there and check, say, well, you're done, you're out. You're trying to get it all straightened out and get it way it's going to be done every race. So that way it's fair for everybody. And you don't have a little guy racing in the same class with a big guy, you know, 200-pound weight advantage. So be evening things up for it and continuing on with it. And so we only got like four or five classes. So they got like kids, little sharp mini late model cage class, and a kids class, like a stock cam, stock motor. And we have an adult stock class. And we have basically the rest is modified pretty much. There's a stage two class, which lets you run a 650 car, 22-pound valve springs, and what am I missing? CO1 or CO2 camshaft, which is kind of peppy, and pretty much what clones and everybody run now. That's with big pipe. And the 650 car does, you know, it adds a lot more performance than the stock 615. And then we have the stage three class, which pretty much allows any cam you can stick in it with porting and polish allowed, with a max 26-pound valve spring and a 690 Venturi bore card. So just pretty basic rules. Let guys do it yourself, play with them, build them, you know, be able to assemble them without having to go to a major engine builder, you know, have them build or ship back and forth. That's the do-it-yourself guys. And the guys that want to learn, you know, get in there and work on their own stuff. And guys here around here local that even support that, they offer like a free class every Thursday night here at PRL Motorsports. Brad Logan and most times Johnny Stokes, Dr. Dirt's here with some other guys, Hunter Carroll, that guys that want to bring the motor in and build one or work or put in a cam or just learn more about it and with their own hands and all that. They're, you know, they're more than welcome to bring them and be instructed and you know, they got their tools in their hands and they do the work. So, I mean, they're just trying to help grow the karting industry and that enthusiasm around here is real big. We don't race for money. I think top three get trophies, get pictures with the family, friends, and all that right there in the infield. So it's more of a prestigious thing, I guess you say, who's the man this week or who's the lady this week deal from week to week or from event to event. But anyway, we'll be back out there Sunday at 3, and most of the time they can catch me live or or recorded, but most time I try to set the camera up, go live where everybody can just watch the racing as it goes on, so they can catch that Sunday. And then the next report, next Thursday, I already hope to be giving you some kind of report from Spokane, Washington, as
for the
Unlimited All-Star Grand Nationals is next weekend,
yep.
17th, 18th, and 19th in Spokane at Sunset Speedway, so we'll be there to appreciate the race and crown a 2021 national champion in Unlimited All-Stars there. Sort of like the top horsepower, top of the top shelf that you can go in go-karting. So that's going to, and also we're only going to be, there's four positions open by qualifying that's locked in. I think the next six have to be heat race winner, followed by the remaining eight in D-Main. So we're taking 18 of the best in the nation to the feature. There's 40 to 50 pre-entries signed up, so guys got to get on the program. Got like a 1-in-4 shot of locking in on that deal, so it's going to be some good racing. And anybody wants to watch it next weekend, then go to 360 Dirt TV and pay-per-view or whatever. He'll have a full coverage of it. I should maybe have a little logo there on the screen somewhere there to represent Down South. So,
yep.
Dirt Track Show, and we'll be seeing you from out west next week, Artie. That's about all I got.
Definitely. Thank you so much. So this Sunday, if anybody's looking for something to do on a Sunday Funday, the MAG is running the carts this weekend. So definitely y'all need to check that out.
That's right.
So, all right, Dave, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you coming on the show each and every week. And be safe on your travels to Washington, and hopefully get a good report from Washington next Thursday night.
That's right, Artie. We'll keep praying for y'all down there and keep you in our thoughts, bud. And we'll see you next week from out west.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Artie.
All right, y'all. That's what our North Mississippi, North Alabama report. Always good time talking to Dave. All right, our next guest on the line here. This is our first ever time we have had a photographer come on, but I wanted to, it's part of Dirt Track Racing, the photographer, and we have Eddie Ritchie on the line here tonight. He is Turn One Photos. He goes to Bob Flag, South Alabama, Deep South, Mobile International. There's multiple tracks that he goes out and takes pictures. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Eddie?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Can you hear me?
So tell us. Yeah, I can hear you. So tell us about your photography career at the racetrack. When did it start? When did you know you loved it? And all that good stuff.
Well, it started about 15 years ago. And I used to drive the station truck at Mobile, and I used to always take pictures setting up there. And Tim Bryant came to me I think about 2012, and asked if I wanted to start shooting pictures at Mobile. You know, and I was kind of nervous, but I told him, yeah. And I started shooting pictures at Mobile, and then I had a few more tracks call me, and I started going there and shooting pictures. So that's how it all started.
And so you've been doing it about 15 years. Eddie, you do some great photos. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there taking photographs, and you're definitely up there with the top ones as far as photos go. What was your favorite race that you ever took photos of?
I don't know. I got a bunch of them, but I did have one, well, two of them. One at Mobile with Daniel Hammert, Augie Grill, and Jeff Kett come across the line almost 3 wide for the checkered flag. And then I had won it during the Snowball Derby when John Hunter won it. And you can see just on the outside of him by the wall, I can't remember who was on the outside of him. And that was probably the best two I've had.
Awesome. That's going to be exciting to take that photo finish, shall we say. And have that as part of your photography. So out of all the tracks you do, I know you stay busy with it. Tell us about all how many tracks you go to and what different tracks you go to, and also what is involved in taking photos for a track.
I go to Five Flags Mobile this year. I need to get back up there. Deep South and Sunny South Speed out there in Grand Bay sometimes. There's not a whole lot getting in, you know, doing it. You know, you just have to get the track early and, you know, go ahead and get your pictures in the pits, you know, guys working on the cars and all, you know. I spend about 12 hours a day at the track whenever I get there. So I'm always there early, get my, you know, like I say, my pictures in the pits, guys working on the cars and, you know, stuff like that. And then I always like to get the first practice in. That way, if I can't get the second practice in, at least I got the first one in. So I'm just spend a lot of time on your feet at the racetrack.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, that's an all-day affair each and every weekend that you go to the track. And I know a lot of people do appreciate the pitchers. I'm telling you, the pitchers are they're very important to the entire dirt track world, asphalt world, whatever kind of racing you go to. You know, it truly is a very important piece of the whole picture. You know what I'm saying?
I try to do my best. You know, I don't have the most expensive equipment, you know, but I work with what I got. You know what I'm saying? You know how that goes.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
You have to make what you got work. And that's what I strive for. I'm get the best pictures I can. So, and dirt track, I just started shooting dirt track not long ago. I really ain't never been a big fan of dirt track, and I'm kind of love dirt tracking now.
Yeah, it's where it's at.
So, yeah, it is. It is. Really is. They put on a good show. So I shoot a lot. I've been shooting a lot at Deep South this year. So I'll be at Deep South again this weekend. I want to go to some more dirt tracks, but I need to reach out to the track owners and see, you know, I think they's Tri-County, and the guy you just talked to at Dothan, I want to reach out to them and try to go shoot that track some this year or next year.
Yeah, definitely. There's plenty of tracks in your area, too. I know you're over there around the Locksley area, and there's plenty of tracks within 50 miles of you that there's so much action going on over there in that area. It's crazy how many tracks there are, say from Baker, Florida to the Alabama-Mississippi line.
Yeah, I want to try to get down to South Florida and shoot some tracks down that way, some asphalt tracks. I ain't never been to, I just want to travel more next year and shoot more tracks.
Yeah.
I ain't traveled much this year, you know, because I don't know, I just ain't felt like traveling a whole lot this year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's something.
Which
it's
D-South's like 5 minutes from my house, so.
Yeah, so that's
makes
definitely
a lot
like
easier.
Track for you.
Yeah. And Five Flags probably 20 minutes from me, and Mobile probably 30 minutes from me. And I go to Montgomery sometimes, it's like a 2 hour drive, and South Alabama, I go there, which only been once this year, but like I said, I need to get back there. Then I go to Sunny South out in Grand Bay every now and then.
I love Sunny South. That's a lot of talent at that one track.
I like that track.
It's unbelievable the talent that they have at that one track. You got kids out there racing, and the amount of people that have went on to race in bigger series from that one track is just unbelievable. It really is. If you want to see some good racing, Sunny South is a great place to watch good racing, and it's pretty close to my house too. It's only about an hour and 20 minutes out from my house. So it's
pretty
a great
close.
Track to go see.
Yeah, they put on a good show out there. Like I say, a lot of them drivers out there is like, you know, running truck series and stuff now. So,
yep.
A lot of talent come out of that
talent.
Track.
Yep.
So.
It's crazy how much talent they have in one place. Every time I go there, I'm just soaking it in because I can't see that in any other track, how much talent they have in one track. And these are all kids. These are little
kids.
Yeah,
they're all kids. They grow up to be good drivers.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they start there at 5 years old, and they race all the way to their 16 and 17, and the next thing you know, they're in a truck series in NASCAR, you know? I mean,
I remember watching that little kid when he was out at Sunny South.
Yeah. I got interviews of kids when they were 5 and 6 years old, and now they're racing NASCAR. It's like, it's just crazy. I was one of the first ones. I was the first ones to do interviews with them, and now they're, you know, big timers. And it really is. It's amazing how much talent they have in that one track.
Yeah, that's cool watching them come up. Cause like I say, I shooting a Mobile and Five Flags, and I watch, you know, like Chase Elliott come up, you know, running late models there, you know, look at him now. He's, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's
won
a championship, you know. So, you know, you got him and, you know, Harrison Burton that used to run there, and when they was, you know, 14, 15 years old running late models, you know.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it's crazy. I wanted to get you on to take and see your side of the racing world. It's totally different than anybody else's. To get that perfect picture, it takes a lot of talent to do that. And you know, people think that just taking pictures is a simple deal, but I'm telling you, it takes talent to take the right pictures. And I believe Eddie that you are one of the best in the game, and I appreciate everything you do for racing in the South.
I appreciate it. I try to, you know, like I say, I try to make myself better every weekend, you know. So, you know, I don't know. I just love doing it, and I try to get the best pictures I can. And like I say, I'm always looking for that perfect shot, but it's gonna come one day. I've had a few perfect shots, but you always look for them perfect shots out there, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I love shooting dirt track now. I mean, Dirt Boys put on a good show.
Oh, yeah, they do. They do.
I've got some good pictures out there this year.
Yeah, so I seen you was walking the beach today, man. It looked like a nice night out there.
Yeah, that's why I was just now leaving from the beach, heading home.
Yeah,
so
pretty nice night out there.
Yeah,
I've definitely seen the work that you did on Facebook today, just the videos and stuff of the beach. It's beautiful out that way. And I want to thank you once again for coming on to the podcast here tonight. And we'll definitely see you up the road sometime.
I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Awesome.
And
if you need anything,
holler at me now. We'll be praying for y'all over there.
All right.
So
thank
you
so much.
Anything, holler at me.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Turn One Photos. He does a lot of tracks there in South Alabama and the Florida Panhandle. If you want to check him out, look at Turn One Photos on Facebook. Let me see if I can pull up his link. Yeah, it's at Turn One Photos. Just type that in on your search bar on Facebook, and that will bring you up to his page. And he has a lot of pictures up there. Check him out. One of the best in the game, and we appreciate him coming on. All right, y'all, the phone lines are open. If anybody wants to call in, I'm going to do my outro. And if anybody wants to call in, they can. The phone number is 718-664-9861. That's 718-664-9861. I want to thank the 110 Nation Sports for having us. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. We wouldn't be able to you know, wouldn't have this love of racing in this podcast if it wasn't for the 110 Nation Sports. Please go give them a like, give them a holler, tell them thank you for everything that they do for us here at the Southern Dirt Track Report. And I appreciate everybody tuning in each and every week. We will share the link of the podcast itself. If you missed any of it, you can always go back and listen to it. on one of your favorite podcasting apps out there. There's plenty of them to choose from that we're on each and every week. Trying to get a dry throat from talking so long. I've been pretty much under the weather all day. So just appreciate everything that they do over there at the 110 Nation Sports. We will share the link to their page as well and get them up and running. All right. We want to talk a little bit. I'm going to end the show here with a couple of different tracks here. We're going to run through them real quick. Why Not Motorsports Park will be having the Fall Classic. It's coming up. Stay tuned for more information about that. We're definitely going to have that rolling there at the Why Not Motorsports Park. So make sure you keep up with the Why Not Facebook page. The Fall Classic is one of the biggest races in the South, and you want to check that out. And also, Pike County Speedway, they will be, I believe they're not running this weekend. Now that I say that, I'm not too sure. No, they're running the limited mod. Never forget $20,000 to win limited mods, I believe, is this weekend. I'm not sure because they've been canceling because of it's a hard-hit area from Hurricane Ida. So still a lot of recovery going on down there. So it looks like they might not be open this weekend. They have posted on the 6th that they closed this weekend due to recovering from the storm, so they had no racing there at Pike County this weekend. Don't forget Alan Netherland, family in your prayers. He was a mod driver and passed away. And Jambalaya 100 is coming up. You don't want to miss the Jambalaya 100, October 28th, 29th, and 30th at Pike County Speedway is going to be the place to be. Just a reminder, Baton Rouge Raceway is no racing this Friday, September the 11th. As you know, a lot of people, you know, they still don't have electricity, a lot of damage in that area. They have made some changes on the schedule. So you want to make sure you keep up with the page. September 11th, no racing. The next race at Baton Rouge Raceway will be Friday, September the 24th, a regular Friday night show. And then Friday, October the 8th, we will have Friday night racing sprint cars. Possibly sprint cars. They're waiting on a confirmation on October 8th race on that Friday. And then the Louisiana State Championship, Saturday, October 23rd, with open practice on October 22nd on that Friday night. So they have practice on the 22nd, Louisiana State Championships on Saturday, October 23rd. We move on to the Thunder Valley Speedway in Glenmore, Louisiana. And they will have the Never Forget September 11th, 9-wing, let's see what this is, 9-wing, $20 draw fee, $10 transponder fee. That is at Arkla Tech's track for September the 11th. They're having a 9-wing race at Arkla Tech. So definitely go check them out. The Thunder Valley, I believe, might be off this weekend. So they are advertising for the Arkla Tech race, the 9-wing race on September the 11th. And I don't think they're racing this weekend. Let's see. Yes. They are racing. They're going to have the 600s there with all weekly classes this September the 11th. 2021, which is Friday night, I believe. So be sure to go check out the Thunder Valley Raceway. And also we have on Southern Raceway. Southern Raceway has a night to remember this week, the 9/11 Memorial Race, 602 Sportsman, Pure Stock, Street Stocks, Vintage, Stingers, 9-wing sprints. Racing starts at 7 p.m. at Southern Raceway. Don't want to miss that. Tammy could not come on tonight. She is under the weather. But I wanted to hit up Southern Raceway and let you know what was going on over there. They will have a fireworks show, and if you've never been to a fireworks show at Southern, it's a pretty good show. So y'all go check them out over at Southern Raceway in Milton, Florida. And that is our update on the tracks. We do have a caller on the line, so let's get that caller in. Do we have a caller on the line? All right, no caller on the line. Okay, I thought I had seen that a minute ago. Oh, caller dropped out. Okay. All right, cool. So, yeah, y'all check out this weekend. Lots of good racing going on the 11th. Friday night, Hattiesburg will be rocking and rolling. Saturday night, we'll have we'll be at the Outlaw Speedway. That really concludes the show here. I'm going to talk a little bit about Saturday night. We will have caller in. Okay, go ahead and send them in. Hello?
Hey, Artie, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's up?
Hey, man, Robbie Johns. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, ain't much to me, man. Jared wanted me to call in and talk to y'all a little bit tonight about the first thing I want to ask you, man, how's your property and your loved ones and your relatives and all in Louisiana? Because we made a trip over to Houma day before yesterday and picked up some stuff and had to come back. We came through there, and, I mean, for the most part, the roads look good, man, but, man, the power lines is all in the bayous.
Yeah, it's pretty bad down here. We just got power just the other day. There's still several places here in Slidell that don't have power. This storm really came and made a jog a little bit to the east, a little bit more than what we wanted, and really put a damage on our city. I have 3 trees down in the yard. I still haven't got a chance to cut them up. I'm going to have to find somebody with a chainsaw soon, get those trees cut up. But it's been crazy, to say the least. This last week really is it's a test from God, is what I say. Living with no power in South Louisiana, you know, it's 100 degrees every day and 150% humidity. It makes it very miserable to sleep at night when you're covered in sweat. But thank God that the power's back on here, and everybody made out pretty good. I have a cousin that lives down in Gaines, Louisiana, and Gaines is right down there where the storm came in, basically. His place made it. They did get some damage on the roof, and the 2 houses next door to him are gone completely. So it's crazy how one house was spared. And well, not spared 100%, but, you know, it's crazy how that works. But, it's been a crazy, crazy, crazy time.
Well, man, God bless all y'all over there. And anything we can do to help any of y'all, don't hesitate not to ask, you know.
Definitely. Tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Man, we've just been sitting here in Baker watching it rain just about every other day, really. I got that old sprint car I've been piddling with a little bit. Most part, been spending some time with my dad, and we rebuilt a little old Boston Whaler 13-foot boat and put all new wood in it and just been kind of hanging out with him a little bit. But I'm getting back to my racing thing pretty soon and try to get my sprint car deal kicked up and going, you know. We had some bad luck with the first go-around, so the second go-around should be better. But main thing I got pushing now, man, is this Race Safer Fuel Arrestor. It's like a bulletproof vest you put around your gas tank, fuel tank, fits all tanks. We can make them for sprint cars to midgets to go-karts to anything. It's ballistic nylon, got absorbent liner in it. Anything happens to the fuel cell, gets a hole poked in it or whatever, that liner takes into play and kind of wicks it up. You know, it's kind of like busting a glass bottle with gas in a wool sock against a wall. It'll break and it's going to leak, but it's all contained in one area. You know what I'm saying? Rather than letting it blow through the car and, you know, catch the driver on fire. I mean, we wear a race suit to protect the driver from a fuel fire. Why not protect the fuel cell also, you know?
Correct. And no doubt. We hear a lot about it. This is the first time you got on the show. It's a good tool. You can check out your Facebook page. Show us how to get in touch with you.
Yes, sir. It's on Facebook. It's Race Safer Fuel Arrester. And you can click on our page. We got a link there for PayPal. I got a manufacturer in North Carolina, and I got a distributor in North Carolina with Cool Matt. You can go to coolmatt.com, or you can call Patty at Cool Matt. She's a really super nice lady. She sells heat insulation materials and stuff for NASCAR and all kind of she sells to everybody in the world, man. She's got a gasket she made for the Hubble telescope, you know. I mean, her company is something to see, man, all the stuff that she makes and does. She works with a lot of the car manufacturers, and I got on board with her, and she's helped me. You know, I've worked on this thing ever since Jeffrey Bodine hit the wall in Daytona in the very first Craftsman truck race. I was there on pit road helping Rick Crawford in his pits, and after the race was over with, I watched that fuel cell come out of that truck, sprayed that fuel in the crowd, burnt 12 people, spun all the way down through the infield, and landed at the end of pit road, still smoldering on fire. And on my way back to North Carolina, I was living in Jacksonville, North Carolina then, I just was thinking all the way home, man, there's got to be a way to contain that fuel, because once it launched that tank, man, that fuel just went everywhere, you know.
Yep.
And that's, you know, just the concept. I worked with NASCAR for about 12 years, but it was a money thing with them. So I dropped back and I said, you know, man, we get more fires and people burnt in the local racing scene than we ever did in NASCAR. So my concentration was on that. I mean, I don't make much money off of them. The cheapest one we make is $550, and it's a NASA grade. This is the very best material. I mean, I didn't want to. You know, it's kind of like buying a racing suit. You either buy the $99 Pro Band suit or you buy the, you know, $400, $500 Simpson suit. Well, me, I always bought the $400, $500 Simpson suit because, you know, my dad always told me if I had a $5 head, I'd buy a $5 helmet.
Yeah, you're right.
But it's a nice, like I said, quality made material. I mean, they should last long as they're not ruptured. You know, you may have to change the liner out eventually, but other than that, the outer shell of it, it's virtually indestructible. It's abrasion resistant. It's fireproof. I mean, it's everything you could want in a abrasive material, puncture resistant. It's got all the qualities that you need. And, you know, of course, the very best that you get, it costs a little more money. I mean, it's not just it's not a novelty item that you're going to buy for $140, you know.
Correct.
But in turn, it could save your life. It could save burns. I mean, man, you go ask all these drivers that's got burned in these cars from fuel burns, and, man, they'll tell you that's some of the worst pain they ever endured. Man, you can heal from a broke arm or a broke leg or, you know, stuff like that, concussion. But, man, a fire, take, for instance, like Justin Bonnet up there, you know, that fire he had at Five Flags where he run over the fuel cell, and it squished between the tire and the deck on the front, well, the dash, and busted the windshield, and it dumped every bit of that fuel down that panel down into his lap, caught on fire. He was burnt before the car ever stopped. Even if this thing had to come out with my fuel arrester on it, it would have saved it. You know what I mean? It would have kept it all contained in one piece rather than it be able to spill all through the car.
Correct. Yeah, I think that's a big fear in a lot of people is getting burnt. You know, you definitely don't want to get burned. This thing is a really good thing. I believe that that the sport needs this, and I believe it could.
Well, man, one other thing I'll note too is like you see a lot of these drivers racing without gloves on, and man, I'm going to be honest with you, that's one of the worst possible things you could ever possibly do. Is drive that car without any gloves on, because here's the thing. Sure, you can feel the steering wheel. You can, you know, maneuver good and all through it and everything, but I've seen men that the car's caught on fire. They didn't get burnt, but their hands, when they reached over to grab the roll bar to get out of the car and they had this cheap padding that they put in it, not the fireproof padding, that stuff melted between their fingers on the backside of their hands, and I've seen it pull hide off where the bone was showing. From where they didn't have their, if they'd just had their gloves on it would have wicked through that stuff and they could have got out of the car. But I don't think a lot of people realize how important fire safety, even oil, man. I've seen oil catch on fire inside of a car. You know, it blow through the firewall, and it'd be like a blowtorch in there, and it burned a guy's leg really bad. And I've been in racing a long time. I've been to a lot of racetracks from up north to down. I got a win at the furthest dirt track in the south is at Clewiston Speedway down there. I think Hendry County, they call it now. But I've been all over the place, and I've seen a lot of accidents, and I just tried to improve racing and safety and awareness. And, you know, there's a better way to race, man, than just an open boat tank that, you know, they hadn't improved on since Fireball Roberts got killed. All it is a steel can with a rubber tank inside of it. Well, this thing that we got, it'll, you know, progress that safety a lot further than just wearing a fire suit.
Yep, no doubt. You know, another thing that I think is crazy is window nets. They are a thing of a past now. And if that car flips and your hand goes out, it's not going to be a pretty sight.
Well, I think it was Mickey Hudspeth, I think, that was at in an ARCA race one time in Charlotte, I think it was. This was back around the early 90s, mid-90s maybe. And his arm come out the window, man, and that car rolled over, and it just tore his arm all to pieces, man. But, yeah, window nets, man. That and I'll be honest with you, these sprint cars, we've been trying to get it up. excuse me. Very rarely do I see them racing with arm restraints. Man, a sprint car flips, it'll cut your arm off in a heartbeat because your arms can go way above where the cage is. And, you know, without them arm restraints in it, I mean, I really think that they should be mandatory on all of them, which that's something we look into when we get our series, you know, back up started rolling, is I think arm restraints is mandatory, just like the head device, head restraint.
Yep, I agree. So anything else you'd like to say?
No, sir, man, other than one thing, man, I got a request on the train wreck show. You got to do some more chicken songs, brother. I love the chicken, yeah, man.
Definitely. Look, we'll look into it. We'll definitely do the chicken.
All right, Artie, man, you have a good night, man, and thank you for letting me call and talk to you again. And if anybody needs anything with our fuel arrestor, go to our page, and I give a shout-out to Jared, man. Jared Hudson is one superhuman being. He helps me with that and my racing thing. He won't let me say no a lot of times, and I just thank God for him. He's a real inspiration in my life, and he helps me a lot, man. And y'all give kudos to that boy because he puts his heart and soul in nothing but dirt track racing.
Yeah, no doubt. Jared is the man with the plan. I'm not going to lie there.
And we appreciate what you do too, Artie. If it weren't for you, man, none of us would have this avenue to be able to get on here, voice our opinions, these products. These racing shows, I mean, you can get on y'all's show and you can go there and figure out wherever you want to race, anywhere during the week that there's a show going on. And I thank y'all for that, man. When I grew up in the early 80s, first started racing, dude, I mean, we had word of mouth on the way. We knew about big races off. We didn't have no, you know, show to get on. We didn't have no flyers. I mean, very rarely was there anything on television, newspaper. And, man, y'all have just brought this sport so far along with this, you know, reporting and stuff that y'all do. And I thank you for every bit of it.
I appreciate that. I really do. It means a lot. I've really busted my tail for many years to get to where we're at today. And I'm so thankful for everything and everybody's input on this. So
well, we all proud of you, brother.
Definitely. You be safe, and nice talking with you.
Yes, sir, Artie. You have a good night. Thank you, brother.
All right.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. All right, y'all, that is Robbie there, Robbie Johns. He does the low-buck sprint car series as well as the Safe Fuel Arrestor. You can check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/RaceSaferFuelArrestor. All right, you know how I like to end the show. I like to say something, and then we'll end the show like this. This weekend is 9/11, and I don't even know how long it's been since it's been. It's probably 20 years. I think it's the 20th year anniversary of the 9/11. If I'm wrong on that, don't shoot me. But 9/11, I think, touched all of us as not only human beings but as Americans. this country after that happened. It took that to happen to make this country united as one. It was united as one for many, many, many years. Everywhere you look, there was an American flag out there. Everywhere you look, there was a yellow ribbon around that old oak tree. You know, people support the troops, support America. We're going to get you back for this kind of deal. You know, there were songs written about it. Toby Keith wrote a song, you know, "I'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way." And, Alan Jackson, "Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning?" Just it really shook this entire nation. And it took that to get us all together as one to see the enemy. 9/11 it brings back some terrible memory for me. I was getting on the bus. I remember exactly what was going on. It was me and my friend Angelo lived across the street from me. We was getting on the bus that morning, and my mom, she opened the door. She said, "Y'all hurry up. Y'all come over here. I want to show y'all something on TV. There was a plane that hit one of the buildings in New York." So we run inside. We look at the World Trade Center. I didn't know what was going on at the time. It was one plane that hit the tower. Wasn't sure exactly, you know, even what it meant. And then we watching it right there live when the second plane hit. And I remember getting on a school bus going, "Man, that's crazy. Two planes hit two buildings at the same time, you know, basically simultaneously." It was just something that we will always remember as Americans. And I remember by the time I got to school, when we got off the bus, they was talking about the Pentagon had got hit. And that whole day, that entire day, we sat at school and did absolutely nothing but watch TV. And I remember just seeing some rough stuff going on in New York City. And the Pentagon got struck. Another plane went down in a field in Pennsylvania. We was all wondering where else they're going to have planes. Honestly, it was one of those deals that you didn't know there was 50 more planes heading for buildings or heading for areas. Just a scary, scary deal for the United States. It's what caused the war, that war that's been going on forever. And then this past recently here, we lost 13 soldiers in Afghanistan. You know, it's kind of weird that it happened right around the anniversary of September 11th. Just a couple weeks ago, we lost 13 soldiers. Listen, I'm an American. I love my country. I love everything about it. I couldn't be more prouder to live here. I know there's a lot of people out there that have different views on different things, and I'm sure we'll be criticized for some of the things that we might say. But I'm an American. I love my country, and I love my people. And as a Dirt Track family, I'm telling you, there's no greater love and human beings than being part of the Dirt Track Nation. And that is just something that I'm proud to say I am part of. We're a bunch of, rednecks that love the American flag, that love the American people, that really understand what's going on. And I don't know exactly what some people's thinking are about different issues, but we're all one. We're all American, and that's there's no color. It's red, white, and blue. That's the colors that we rep. And I just want to say that God bless this country. God, you know, we pray to you every day about this country. And we hope that we come back stronger and stronger than ever as a country, as a people. I thank y'all so much for tuning in tonight. I love each and every one of my listeners, my viewers. We'll share the link on the page. We want everybody to hit it up and listen to the show. It was a great show tonight. But just remember that we're all here in the United States. We all live here. And we love America, and we love dirt track racing. And that's two things that I can honestly say. You know, Rod Southern says it every week at the track. We stand for the pledge and kneel for the cross. And that's a big-time statement there, because that's what we do in dirt track racing. When you hear that a Star-Spangled Banner playing over the over the radio at the track, you stand up, and it really does hit you if you're American. I love listening to it. It brings tears to my eyes. Ron did something on Memorial Day. He played Taps over the loudspeaker, and I'm telling you, that is chilling. It chilled my spine all the way down. So, but I appreciate everything that everybody's doing. Y'all stay safe out there. I love you guys. God bless. And we'll see y'all next Thursday night right here, same time, same place. I'd like to thank the 110 Nation Sports for having us on board, and thank everything involved with that. Thank my producer, Chris Creighton. He does a great job each and every week. I couldn't do it without him. That's my bud. And I appreciate everybody tuning in, and I love you guys. God bless. Good night. We'll see y'all next Thursday.